United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Yeah. Goldie Goldie right there. Good morning. This morning with Tracy and friends, Jeff in the air chair today for right now. How you doing out there? We hope you're doing well out there, everybody, here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Also on WSOM on iHeart. And if you're in the earshot of this, definitely check out the WSOM app that you can get at WSOM.com. And you download that app, and then you have WSOM all the time, whenever you want it, especially mornings with Tracy and friends. Good morning. How is your world doing today? I want you to give me a call here at 1-347-945-5229 and let me know, because there's all kind of things going on in the world, and we're going to try to make you aware of it or just talk to you about it to see what you think about it. You know, we're getting very, very burnt out, I know, and apathy is running rampant through communities. It doesn't matter which community. Apathy. We're allowing things to happen to us that we shouldn't. And we're not doing anything with our, how should I say, we're not doing anything with our elected officials a lot of times to make them accountable for what they do. Here it is. Town in Southern California. Now, I'm going to tell you a caveat on this. A lot of these people in this town are Hispanic people. They are blocking the migrant, they're not migrant buses at all. They're not refugees either, because if that's the case, there's so much violence down in Central America. Hey, so much violence down in Central America that they have to send their kids out away from Central America to the United States. Tell me where the people, the young children of Chicago go. Now where gang violence is at an all-time high, and they're randomly shooting, fighting in the streets. So now, where are they going? Are you trying to say something?
They go to jail.
Who are you and where'd you come from? Tracy fell out the ceiling again, you all. I mean, I got here, she wasn't here, then all of a sudden, boom.
Board of Elections, you know.
Yeah, well, you have to do what you got to do.
And I told you, people in Chicago fell out the sky. You know?
Yeah.
They go to where did they go? They go to prison.
They go to jail.
They go to jail.
But these are the kids. They haven't done anything yet.
Okay, then they go to they go to the grave. They
yeah.
go to the jail.
A lot of them go to the
and
grave.
And if you can't go to the grave and go to the jail, maybe with a little prayer, a lot of prayer,
mm-hmm.
and with a little bit of direction, maybe you can escape.
Mm-mm-mm.
So what's wrong with that? That's how it rolls.
I don't know, but Obama is going to ask for $2 billion. Wait a minute. This is what I got to say.
Jeff, it's only 10 minutes after.
Oh,
it's 10 minutes after 9. And
what you want to do?
So
what you want to do? I'm not crazy. I was going to ask a question.
What? You reading the headlines already.
Yeah, well, I always read the headlines. That's my job.
But you're supposed to come in and say good morning.
I did.
Dancing.
No.
So you don't sing when other people aren't here. You only sing when I'm over.
I'll get around to it. Do you hear how I sound right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you need to do that more often.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't need to do this more often. I need to make money.
No, because you sing all every time, you know, say, you know, we say, refugees. So sing all over again. You sing, you know, United Nations. You know, we go football. Browns.
Yeah, we got to have the Browns.
You start singing. You know, every time we say something.
Do you want to ever grab the mic while I'm on stage somewhere?
Oh, I'm going to do that.
Okay, then you need to start singing every time.
No.
Because there's a song for everything you got.
No. I'm one of those people that I sing when they're supposed to be singing, and I talk when I'm supposed to talk.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
You don't know when they're supposed to be singing.
I know.
So you're supposed to know when we're supposed to be singing.
Right.
Okay. So now.
And I talk when I'm supposed to talk. And I read when I'm supposed to read. There's a time and place for everything. Everything under the sun, there's a time and there's a place. Amen.
For every place, there's a time and a season.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Heaven, there's an absolute reason.
That's what I'm trying
to say. There's a time to live, a time to die.
That's what I'm trying to say. And y'all be trying to make time out of nothing. How you doing this morning?
Time to tell the truth. There's no time to lie. You started me out. See, now I'm rapping.
Jeff.
A time to break and a time to chill. To act civilized or act real ill.
It's not time to sing yet.
That's not singing. That's rapping.
It's not time to rap.
Yes, it is.
There's a time to talk.
I felt the inspiration by what you
just
said.
Because you got,
you said everything there's a time.
Listen, just because you got a feeling don't mean
No. It's the inspiration.
You
have to let it out.
You don't. No.
You have to.
No, you don't let it out.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, you don't let it out.
1-347-945-5229. What?
They ain't calling in until 20 after.
Whatever. It don't matter. I'm just giving
the
number just in case.
They ain't calling in. I want to know. I ran across some people, and they were like, you played something the other day. And I'm like, you listen?
There you go.
Why don't you call?
There you go.
They won't call.
Won't call.
So don't give them a number.
Okay. Not even the local. Yeah, especially not the local number, because
the local people won't call. The people, they won't call.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You didn't even put the chat room up.
Yeah, chat room's up.
Where the chat room at?
Right there.
The chat room ain't up.
Chat room's right there.
Who's in there?
Icy Lord.
Oh, I haven't seen Icy in a while.
Angel Face is in there, too.
I haven't seen Icy in a while.
Uh-huh.
Hey, they finally arrest Pretorius for defense arrest. It's about time.
I didn't want to talk about him.
Wait, I'm not talking about him. I'm at the first 20 minutes yet. I got to go up to a break in about 3 minutes. Hey, Jeff, did you hear?
5 minutes.
Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
Hillary Clinton trying to backtrack. I mean, listen.
Her brokenness?
No, not her brokenness. About her defense. She defended a rapist back in her early age.
Yeah.
Do they not? I mean, I'm not.
And destroyed the young lady that was raped.
But that was her job.
That was practice against Monica Lewinsky in the future. She was prophetic.
That was her job. And sometimes we forget the job. That was her job. Everybody has the right to a lawyer, even if you know that the person is a evil person. The person is supposed to have the right to a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't help she was so good that she got the brother off with a technicality.
Yeah.
That's her job. And if you are the client of someone, even if you're getting a free representation, you want to have good representation. You just don't want to be, you don't want to go to jail just because you broke.
Mm-hmm.
I read something that somebody's getting out of prison now. He's been in there for a very, very long time, and he was been they got a show on, I guess, that he's
really
been innocent for all these years.
Wow,
there are people in there.
Why I told you I was rethinking the death.
I don't rethink the death. When you said you were rethinking your opinion of it, but I'm saying people in the future with DNA and all of the technical aspects we have now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your DNA says you did it, we need to fry you, but. If we don't have the DNA on it and it's not a slam dunk, I think we'll let you live.
I agree.
Did you see the video on Facebook where they were caning the man for stealing?
Mm-mm.
There's a picture on Facebook, and there's a video, actually. Indonesia.
Yeah, but...
They're caning him. They're holding him. They got four people holding him. One holding one hand, one holding the other, and one person on one foot and one person on the other foot. And they're holding him suspended in air, bottom down. Bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're whipping his behind because he stole something. Jeff, I put up.
Does that go to the statement, I'll beat you like you stole something?
I put it back out there and said, we need to do this here in the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I promise you, if we cane people, you wouldn't have to worry about the crime rate. Because what happened in Chicago this past weekend, they shooting like it's a business.
Yeah, it is.
So I think 64 people, there were 64 shootings. I think 14 murders. and a whole bunch of other people hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was equivalent to like one shooting an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all weekend.
And Rahm Emanuel, he's sitting up there trying to blame somebody else for it and saying that they need stricter gun laws.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with gun laws. It has to do with, well, anyway, the people in Chicago got it. They will not vote for Barack Obama again, okay?
They don't have to.
I know, but I'm saying they won't vote for that ilk because they saw what they got.
No, they would do it again.
I don't know. There was a lot. They kept it down. They kept it down, but there was a lot of unrest about what was going on in the country. And they were saying they didn't want anything to
do.
I don't know.
I this side of the table. Do it again.
No, there you go. See, there you go. See, I told you. I told you that there's always. Yes, but I told you.
It's the side of the table.
No. You're getting the feeling.
No. You got the feeling. And a James Brown movie coming out.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's playing him?
I don't know.
Oh man, there's somebody.
I wonder they're gonna do. Who's gonna play Jerry Poindexter?
Youngstown's own. Who's gonna play Nate Jones?
That's what I'm saying.
Youngstown's own.
Who's gonna play these people?
They should have Nate and them in there.
I don't know.
Yeah, they should.
I'm just saying. I just saw that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then are they going to make sure they get, you know, are they going to do the part where he came to Youngstown and got arrested?
I don't know. But
you know, we got police reports downtown.
Yeah,
James Brown.
Yeah, James Brown was something else. He used to like to throw girls down steps and out of windows, you know.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to get, you know, you got to
you got to keep your women in line, right?
Listen.
You're going to get me. Listen.
What?
Why you show up and start this stuff?
I'm supposed to. The first 20 minutes is
supposed
to be
life.
Yeah, but
this ain't
life.
You're going
to
get me hurt.
I can't help that. You want to start the car for you? I got the feeling. There you go. This is what happens when they make me go to work too early in the morning. This is my second meeting.
Yeah, I heard that.
What?
It don't matter. It don't matter.
Tracy and friends, Tracy has left the building. She's having some issues today. So
I can agree.
So you just have to bear with us. We'll come back and talk about something a little bit more serious in a minute. Hey. There you go.
We're going to go to break because Tracy is having a breakdown over here. We'll be right back.
I haven't had breakfast yet.
I heard that. One is with Tracy and friends, and Tracy is right here. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Go on, sweetie. Jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy. The water's cool.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay. Here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
WSOM.
I saw a guy texting yesterday, but I think he had his kids with him. Is that possible? I felt like following him. And he was not going slow. He was approaching a roundabout. I don't know what you have to set up for yourself, what sort of thing to convince yourself, but texting while you're driving is not suicidal, it's homicidal.
Catch Dennis Miller, noon to 3, weekdays, right here on News Talk AM 600. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Now, tell me this.
What?
James Brown better than Happy? Or is Happy better than James Brown?
Happy's better than James Brown.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Happy, Happy puts you into a frame, a state of mind. James Brown takes you somewhere. Happy puts you into a frame of mind.
Okay. I'll buy that.
You know, Happy is just, if you notice, even the even the bigger morning shows have gone to a Happy.
Is that right?
Yeah, everybody didn't happy them. I mean, they didn't mean happy it out.
I heard that.
I mean, it's happy. You can't go wrong with happy.
Well, we'll see about that later. Anyway,
what?
I just said we'll see
later.
About that later.
Oh,
we're not going there.
Here's
now.
Number 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I am immigration.
Mm-hmm.
What we gonna do?
You're gonna replace all the black people in America.
That's not what's
going to happen. That is too what's going on. What do you think is going on? Look, you just brought about 180,000 children up here since last fall. 180,000. What do you think?
These kids are escaping gangs.
Oh, yeah? Well, where are the ones from Chicago?
I told you where they going.
Where are the ones from New York going?
Didn't I tell you? I told you.
Well, why don't we bust them to another city?
You're not allowed to do that.
Why not?
Because they're citizens.
Well.
So you can bust immigrants.
Yeah, but.
You can't bust citizens.
They got to be immigrants.
They're not immigrants.
That's showing. That,
No, Jeff, you're messing up.
That ain't America. Land of the free.
No, Jeff, you're singing again.
See? See, I told you there's a time for this.
It ain't time yet.
It is. That is not where it's at over there. Okay? Those kids are dying in the street. 82 people shot last weekend.
No, 64.
No, 82.
No, 64.
Listen, Drudge Report does not tell lies.
64.
Listen.
It was the highest ever.
Yeah, of course it's the highest ever.
Up from 64.
Yeah, well, anyway, 14 killed, 82 wounded in Chicagoland.
Well, 82 wounded, but it was only 64 shot. The other ones got stabbed.
Hey, good morning, people.
I'm done with you now. Kavina, man.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think Jeff has a point. I hate, you know, why,
huh?
You know, when he's right, he's right.
What did you say?
I said Jeff has a point.
About
what he was saying about, let me summarize this. I think that there comes a time where people, their thoughts on the political system kind of evolve. You know, people go from being skeptical and cynicism and then hating the government to believing in the government. And then what they expect is spoils of the wars. You know what I'm saying? What you have a victory and you expect, oh, we're going to get some of this Wall Street money. We're going to get some of this stuff to turn around the society, blase, blase. And when that doesn't happen, when Emmanuel or Obama, whoever, there's no spoil to the war, they can't get none of this money. They can't get what they thought they were going to get,
about
the money. I'm just saying, that's what they're thinking. Just get in the mindset of the people, not what you're thinking.
Oh,
get
yeah, I agree with you.
They want the spoils of the war, and they're not getting it. So they're going to be a point where they're just going to say, the heck with it. You know,
well, here's the thing, Kavina, man, and this is what I have believed for many years, not just the last couple. I saw that the black community could not be controlled a certain way anymore, and that they were going to do away with them. And you know, I watched them progressively allow these neighborhoods to go crazy. Progressively, okay. I live in Youngstown, Ohio, which was known as murder capital of the world. Am I right, Tracy?
Yeah, one time.
Okay, one time. We still have so many, for a long time, had many murders per capita, caught some people that were letting murderers out of prison for money, put them in jail, but by the time that happened, there was 100-something bodies of young black men, and he didn't care nothing about that.
Well, it's not. I can't speak to what a man cares about. He didn't act upon what he didn't act upon it.
Well,
I can't speak to what he cares about.
Well, he obviously knew that he let people out. This prosecutor let people out that ultimately killed several people to keep themselves out of jail.
But what I'm saying is,
we're talking about, was it Philomena Philomena.
Let me say this. But again, pressures come because, in my opinion, a lot of people didn't go to jail but should have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's coming.
No. I'm talking about then.
Okay, I
the
got
Philomena.
It. Yeah.
There were some people. There was the top dogs didn't go to jail.
Okay. Well, they never do.
The underlings went to jail.
Absolutely.
So there were some people who represented people that didn't go to jail.
I agree. Definitely agree.
So when you have people that didn't go to jail and the big dogs didn't go to jail, you can be pressured into doing something that you didn't want to do, based upon a bad decision.
Right. Well,
but even what's going on right now.
Oh yeah.
I believe that there are people that are pushing buttons that are not going to see the light of day, and they're going to walk away.
Sure.
And they're going to throw whoever else they can under the bus.
Under buses. That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
and buses
and
are rolling.
Let me add this. I think that you can look at places where you had black mayors, say Detroit, Atlanta. Remember Chicago, even when New York, even when there was that big thing, was like, oh, we got the first black mayor. Now we're gonna get those jobs. Now, because it was like before the black mayors, it was political corruption, cronyism. You had the mayor could dish out contracts for the sewer departments, the trash departments. People just get out of jobs. They just throw them out, right? The mayor had that kind of corruption. And when a black person came up, they pulled that ladder up and said, you can't control no jobs. You can be black.
Let me tell you, that's not how it works. The problem is black people get into a position and think they can do the same thing the white man did, and they can't. See, black people forget that they're black because they get a title behind their name. You know, we've always heard that if you're black and you've got to get up earlier, stay up later, and be better. And somehow we get to positions and we think we don't have that same ideal does not belong to us and shouldn't be with us, and that's where we fail.
We're on the same page. I'm not arguing this. This is not even an argument. This is the same page. You're saying the exact same thing that I just said. You just said it from a different perspective.
But what I'm saying
angle.
Is he has the ability to give jobs out because those jobs are at the discretion of the mayor. But what he can't do is he can't go in and fire people because he wants to without reference to getting it done like his predecessor did.
No, this is true.
You can go in there and you can put people in place if that's your authority. But you can't go in there and upset the apple cart that's not your authority and think you can get away with it because your predecessor did.
Right. That's the
difference.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. Right there, we're on the same page. There is no disagreement. I'm saying black folks thought, this is the thinking of the black folks. Think about what the black folks are thinking. We gain political power. We put some black faces in white places. We gain
soils.
I'm the white places where white folks was living. We thought we were gonna get some spoils, and then all of a sudden we was gonna get some jobs and the water and power and electrical. We thought it was there. It was right there for our taking. White folks just slap that in your face and you can't get nothing, nigga.
But we don't want to get a job.
Here's the thing though, Covina, that you're not admitting. Okay, and what I'm saying. It might upset you, but that's fine. Listen, if you got a president up there, that black folks thought that, oh, we got a black president, he's going to get all these programs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He gets in office and he essentially turns his back on you, okay? The entire world sees it, all right? Now what's going to happen is, who are we screaming at? If it were George Bush or a white guy, we'd be screaming at the top of the hill, but now we're quiet as church mice. Because we don't want to put our business out in the street in front of the white folks. The bottom line is black folks should be down there at the border screaming and hollering and making a big noise because you're getting ready to be replaced. Okay? They need to be screaming and hollering because there was no black agenda. He got voted in by black people thinking that there was going to be a black agenda, but there wasn't one. And I hear people talk about, well, Barack Obama is the president of all the United States instead of just black America. Well, it's time for the dividends to be paid by Barack Obama. And I'm not saying that, I don't believe that, okay, there's a system in the system set up to where, you're gonna be president and you can do whatever you want. No, the Constitution restricts you, with the separation of powers. But, I haven't seen where he's made a special trip to the hood. I haven't seen where he's made a special trip back down here. I'm a guy back in 2008. I don't see what's going on.
He's allergic to black people. He's allergic. You hear me? He's not trying to listen. Listen. Wait, listen to this now.
Oh, hey, Obama in president, He what? Gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
More.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. He's bad. Obama.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, He what? Gave us a phone.
He gave you
he's
a phone.
More.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you're on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question.
That's what I'm talking about right there. And
Jeff, what what that is, that's like the opposite of what I'm saying. That's people who saying we getting spoiled when Obama's in the office.
No, 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 that's what you said. There, she was expecting the spoils of war because right. Obama was in there and he gave away.
Spoil,
a, yeah. Huh?
That wasn't a spoil. That's a crumb.
Well, no, no, that's what I'm saying. Listen. When black people get in office, they can give out jobs, and they do give out jobs. It's just who do they give those jobs to?
That's the issue. Go ask Kwame.
That's what Kwame Kilpatrick. You absolutely. Because I'm going to tell you just like this. A lot of times guys get in there, and if they don't have character, they try to sell these jobs. Okay? And a lot of times they'll give a couple black people a position here or there, and, you know, you'll find a lot. You know, Mayor Williams did a good job of placing black people in different places. Okay, I mean, decent places. You know, MVSD has a couple managers is black. Don't you start, Tracy. Don't you start. But anyway, Tracy may not. Hey, the comments I just made may or may not be the same as the owner of the show. This is Jeff's comments only. Okay, so that's how it goes. But I don't know. We're going to kick this thing around, but they have the power because I only have one. Go ahead. Yeah, one guy that I can point to, and that was Ken Blackwell, who made.
Yeah, I was going. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say. Yeah, I think that when you find those success stories of black folks getting some spoils, that's where you see the other side of the game saying, okay, we need to privatize this. We need to defund government.
No.
Okay.
Listen,
I'm speaking truth to power here.
It's not the other side.
I'm speaking truth to power here.
No, this is not truth to power. That's truth to lie. It's not the other side.
No.
It's people. People take care of who took care of them.
Okay,
that's true.
So don't get it twisted. And when we look at smaller government, it's not about because black people are working in federal government that we want to downsize government.
No.
What we're saying is we can't afford to put people in, but after a point, African Americans need to be in private industry also. And those jobs should be available to them.
Absolutely.
Because we can't afford to put you on the state money all the time. We'll be right back.
Right.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm the happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is.
I'm Willie Blurris with your headline news. A Jamestown area man is dead after a crash Friday in Green Township. State police say Clifton L. Erb III, 45, veered off Kinsman Road at about 11 p.m. Police say he was not wearing a seatbelt. Erb was thrown from the vehicle that rolled at least once and struck a driveway culvert. He was pronounced dead at the emergency room at UPMC Horizon. Police say a Sharpsville man killed his friend on Friday night as he fought off his attempts to drive him home from a bar. Fred Earl Abbott, 36, started drinking early when he drove himself to the Sharpsville American Legion on West Main Street. There he met his friend. He was joking with him outside, and he ended up kicking him in the stomach, which actually caused him to fall and then die. Hospital personnel said Frederick recently had heart surgery and may have had complications. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. This summer, experience the legendary toughness of Ford F-150, built with the power and fuel efficiency to get the job done. For details, visit driveoneohio.com. It's baseball time, Scrappers fans. The Scrappers return to Eastwood Field for a five-game homestand July 4th through the 8th. Highlighting the homestand is a 4th of July fireworks show, Tyler Naquin bobblehead giveaway, Hall of Champions induction night, strikeout cancer night, and a t-shirt giveaway. For more information, call 330-505-0000, friend them on Facebook, or visit mvscrappers.com. The Scrappers 2014 season is presented by Subway of Niles. Scrappers baseball, baseball with bite. Sweet deals on News Talk 600. Your chance to try some of the best businesses in our area at a tremendous value. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website to take advantage of half-price gift certificates from our area restaurants, golf courses, spas, salons, and more. Visit our website and see upcoming deals and open offers that you can take advantage of right now. Every week, you'll find half-price deals from some of the area's best places to dine, play, and shop. So where else can you pay half price? Only right here at the home of the Sweet Deal. Visit our website and click on the link to see this week's deal, plus upcoming deals and open offers that are discounted even more. Then, get ready to shop Fridays at 9 a.m. So make your half-price deal, and within 10 minutes of your purchase, we'll email you a certificate to print. Sweet Deals, every Friday morning at 9 a.m. from 600WSOM.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600-WSOM.
Hey, yeah, hey.
Right to the whip, I snap a tie. In this thing called rap, figure like a double rhyme double on a heavily level. Bang the bass, turn up to double. Radical mind, day and night all the time. 7-14, live the mind. Maniac, radiac, winning the game. I'm the lyrical Jesse James.
I guess they're not going to do it for me, huh?
No, that's the vamp, Jeff.
I got the power! That's all I
that's
wanted.
Here it is.
Okay, yeah, here
there
we
go.
Go. There we go. There we go.
No, you ain't got no power.
I got power.
And LeBron, they think LeBron's going to come back. Hey, Jeff, listen, they think of LeBron coming back to Africa.
Take me to the king. I don't have much to bring.
Yeah, that ain't the wrong king.
Be a Cleveland fan.
No, Jeff, he ain't the
if
king.
If I can hold LeBron's hand.
Jeff, come back.
I want LeBron back because I wasn't mad at him for leaving.
I'm mad at him for leaving, but I want him to come back.
Why would you be mad?
Okay.
He made a billion dollars.
I was mad at him. I just wish he could have called me and I could have helped him with his leave, because how he did it was just not right.
He was a young guy,
and what I'm saying, good people make bad decisions. It was a bad decision in how he went about doing it.
Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't getting LeBron back.
What?
Y'all ain't getting him
What'd
back.
What'd you say?
Y'all can let that
I'm
go.
Oh, he coming back.
I ain't letting it go.
He coming back.
Yeah, y'all getting back when he's about 35. He'll come back to
Cleveland. No, baby, his wife
coming
back.
Now. Huh?
His wife wanted him. His wife wants him back. He wants him home.
Look here. I'm gonna tell y'all like this. That's South Beach. That's Miami.
Oh, baby. And your point is,
come on.
He don't live there.
He already gone. From South Beach.
I went down there and stayed for 3 weeks. I had a blast. I went out. It got to the point. They knew me. We down there going to, like, album release parties. I had a blast. Miami's like that year-round.
That's because you ain't married.
Look here. What happens in
you
South Beach
married,
stays
South
in South Beach.
You get give you a divorce. Look here.
I was at Puff Daddy party, Lil Wayne, what's his name? D-Wade birthday party. Man, I had a blast.
That's what I'm saying. Wayne, all that.
We didn't have to stand in line no more. Oh, they good. Let them in. Because everybody just knew.
That's because you married.
We went off down there.
You ain't listening. married men don't need to be in South Beach. It'll get you divorced with a high alimony and child support payment.
It's a few places in America. Atlanta's one of them. Miami, Atlanta. I hadn't been to D.C. yet, but from what I hear, D.C. crazy too.
Listen, every major city's crazy because they got crazy women out there, and that's not for a married man to be. Not if you're trying to stay married and not pay tax for it.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say every major city.
Every major city. Because when you go to L.A., they crazy too. And they hem you up because, you know, us women, we crazy. We go after the dollar bill. Dollar bill. Absolutely.
Now, let me tell you what.
The point you guys were talking about before the break about, South Carolina made the point the guy got in. That's the thing. When I hear people say we got power, me and my brother got in this discussion during the 4th of July. He was saying people got – I said, you don't have power just because you can vote. Just like Dr. Claude was saying, vote for what? You don't own nothing. You don't control nothing. The guy that owns and controls something can topple 50,000 people that got votes. You can have 50,000 people voting against you. You one guy with millions of dollars. And you come to that politician, shake his hand and say, look, this is what I want. I'm going to give you $100,000. He going to do what you want.
That's not how it works.
Okay.
I keep trying to tell you that. And I'm telling you I'm not telling you from the cheap seats. That's just not how it works. Your money does not buy you entitlement.
So you telling me, hold on. Just because you was in politics and you didn't have somebody come offer you a check, right? You telling
that's
me
not
that
what I'm
your
trying
opponent,
to tell you.
Your opponent wasn't bought.
No, not like that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. At one time, paper bags could get you a lot of money like that. It doesn't work like that today. You can come give a candidate $20,000 and him not return your phone call next week when he gets in.
That's not. I'm not talking about $20,000. I'm talking about millions. I'm talking about people.
Listen,
when you want something done.
You can give a man $100 million and him still not return your phone call when he gets in office. Because it's not about your dinero. It's about your power.
Yeah, the Coke
and there's a difference between your power and your – see, money does not equate to power. And that's why you have to understand the difference between rich and being wealthy. What's wrong with America is – and what's wrong with a lot of people, we think money equates to power, and it doesn't. There's a lot of rich folks with no power.
Well, you're right about that.
And see, just because you got a whole lot of money does not mean I'm going to return your phone call. But there's some people out there that don't have a dime. But when they call, I'm returning their phone call before the person that gave me $100 million. And he ain't give me jack. Tell me the difference.
You ain't going to stay in office doing
that,
though.
That's a rare situation.
No, it's not rare. I'm telling you, it's not rare. Because really, don't get me wrong, money does buy you influence. But it does not equate to influence if you have no power. Because your money... Unless there's something behind it, you just gave me money. Thank you very much. And we need to understand that.
If I can influence
a riot in the streets, and I ain't got to die, he'll call me back first.
That's right. Go ahead.
Oh, I want to get on something. At the six was there with Tracy, and he was talking about being anti-government or we got into a fight, and I had to think overnight about contextualize what they were saying, and I think this is very, very important. If you're in the position of Sticks and people like him, and the society has spent 200 plus years building up, they built this nation on this situation where when their children are born, they're put 10 steps ahead of the black people, and the black people are at the bottom. They spent so much building this, and all of a sudden, a government program or a government, a Supreme Court decision could come along and start to topple that. They work in their dangdest to conserve that privilege that they had for so long. They can't give it up. When somebody comes along and says, "Oh, we're gonna get some justice to the black folks," man, that makes them spurious. That'll be like,
no,
that'll be like,
it doesn't. No,
that'll
no,
be
no,
like,
no,
I don't, no, no.
That'll
I
be
mean,
like,
and
that'll
I don't
be
wanna,
like,
I,
me,
I, I, listen, Kavina, man.
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Listen, honey, sweetheart, really understand this. We are so caught up into the chalk and the color of a man that we are losing the whole game. It's really, don't nobody care about the color. They don't want to give it to nobody. Do you realize that people don't give their business to their kids anymore? They make them buy it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we think, well, the reason why they want to do it is because a black man's doing it. It ain't about the color of your skin.
They don't care about you.
You are no longer relevant in the situation of life because you're black. If anything, they're afraid of you, but they definitely don't respect you.
Marginalized, let me put it that way. African-American people in America are marginalized. Look, like you, I kept telling you, look at who has any power in the United States government that's black. I continue to say that.
Okay,
you know,
well,
think about
it. Out of it for a second. Let's take color out the argument and just think of the argument where as people have built up a system where it benefits them and their children, and along comes a government program or somebody that says, well, we're going to include other people. They will hate that program, that government. There's no way they're going to allow that to happen. This is war. This is survival of the
Covina,
fittest.
Covina, listen. We haven't built up anything, and that which we had, we gave away. They didn't take it.
I'm not talking about us. Leave black people out of it. I'm talking about the people who are in power.
They're not concerned about you taking their power.
No, because you can't take it.
Right now, they're concerned about maintaining their power, not you taking it.
That's what
and
I'm
you're
saying.
Not,
maintaining
but Covina,
their power.
Man,
that's
you're
it.
Not,
that's conservatism.
Covina,
that's
Covina,
it.
You're it's not.
Man.
You're not the threat.
That's not conservatism.
You're not the threat.
Crazy.
You're not.
Crazy.
Yes, South Carolina. I just want
to
understand. You're not organized enough to be a threat.
Right, Larry. I'm going to bring you in.
Hold on, South Carolina. They mobilize you. They already control you. The problem is you're so weak and so unpredictable now. And they've run out of game on you. They got to bring another group in to control them and to put them in, and put them in the same place that you are, so that they can control them. And the problem with them is they may not be able to control them the same way they did the black man. Because right now you're still incarcerated by the hundreds of thousands. Go ahead, Sal.
And very easily manipulated on Facebook. I saw something, you know, this morning on Facebook that was like, it just showed me how easily we're manipulated. There was an ad that was put out by an agency that is fighting hunger, okay? Somebody took it upon themselves to show this thing on Facebook and said, this is another side of white supremacy. Now, they showed the ad in the United States on the United States Facebook portal. However, the ad was made, produced to be distributed in South Africa. A whole different set of people, a whole different mindset, whole different area. They're saying that the video is racist, and it goes against goes to show white supremacy. And I'm shaking my head. So I posted it back to the person that I saw it from, and said, you know, go to the source and find out. The thing came out of South Africa, and it was so stupid. And people are just so easy to manipulate, just like the daggone toilet parade or the filth jar parade with the toilet saying Obama Library. They're saying that's racist. Man, Bush was hung and effigy burned and effigy and everything else. And then people are saying that's racist. Man, listen, the white folks that are promoting that are a bunch of idiots and hypocrites, and the black folks that are plowing it are a bunch of lemmings.
Well, hold
Man,
on. They're not idiots.
He would say that slavery wasn't racist. So that South Carolina.
No, he wasn't. Covina, man, let me say this one. He's absolutely correct on this. To say that and the ridiculousness of how this administration is operated, it's absolutely insane.
Now let me say this, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Now let me say this. It was distasteful.
Yeah, it might have been distasteful
in what they did. But the motives probably had nothing to do with the color of his skin. And that's
no.
The problem is, if he were a white man, we would treat him differently too.
Absolutely. You wouldn't be saying how great he is.
If he were a white man, we would really have a major issue with this brother.
Go ahead, Larry. We only got about a minute.
Okay, well, real quick then. You know, Covina, man, I know Sticks and you said he's anti-government, and that's not Sticks. He's anti-big government, which is
right.
A big difference. So please don't, I mean, Sticks is a good friend of mine. He's not anti-government. He's not one of these guys out here wanting anarchy. He's just anti-big government, and if you go back, that's what the founders was trying to set up, so it wouldn't be a big government, a big federal government.
I'm agreeing with you.
Well, you said but you called it anti-government, and that's not true.
Well, that's semantics. I didn't want to split hairs, but go ahead, man. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, But it's all good. You know, the thing is we have to come to this point that we're at right now where we're actually trading ideas and where we're actually saying things that matter and how.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends.
Yeah, Bama, where you at, man?
I'm right here.
Dr. Claude Anderson, man, that's one of his major flaws. Dude is brilliant on so many issues. Are you getting out of a car, dude? What's that?
No, that's somebody else.
Oh, okay. But he's brilliant on so many issues, but the argument he starts to make and it starts to fall down when he has the idea of black people are supposed to work together and give money to politicians in order to buy the politicians. Man, you cannot. I know everybody black knows the term big bank take little bank. There's no way that a little bank is going to compete against the Koch brothers or whoever got all that major money.
Okay, well, I heard your point, right? Well, the problem is this. You thinking your reality is that of you thinking in a small reality. You thinking that, okay, we'll never be able to compete because you looking at us through the scope of today and what we have today and the resources we have today. Once we get to a certain level financially, we won't look like we do now. We won't look like we do now. We won't be financially where we are, the economic indicators. We won't be at the bottom anymore. When we're no longer at the bottom and we come in and we want something, we can get it. That's like saying the homosexuals won't get something, or the Hispanics won't get something, or Asians don't get something. All those groups I just named get all types of stuff, and you start on a state and local level, and you start infiltrating those politicians, and you can actually make a change. But, yeah, nationally, it would take time to get that way. But when we get our Henry Fords and our Rockefellers that are black and think that way, then they'll be able to come out and do some of the same things. That's what Dr. Anderson's saying.
Okay, yeah, that'd probably be like 200 years from now.
Well, I mean, okay, I'll have no problem with that.
Yeah,
that's the problem. You want something. We can't have nothing here and now. These people, I heard it said the grandfather's in overalls so that the grandkids can wear suits and ties. That's how I got to start. You got to start dirty right now and think down the line. You going to have to leave something for your kids so they don't start at ground zero and have to go out here and try to get something. So if you want something for the black community, if you want something that's going to be pro-black or black schools or whatever you want to do, history, however you want to affect it, then you start now, and yeah, in 200 years, we'll be at that point. That's how the Jews started. They didn't start owning Hollywood way back in the day. They started selling stuff on the side of the road. And they were in the ghettos right alongside black people. But they were thinking long down the line. Now they run everything, banks, everything. And it don't take as long as you think it does. I don't think it takes 200 years. It could take decades, not 200 years.
Yeah, well, my thing is, I always think you need a plan that's effective right now, as opposed to, you know, once you get your $1 million, you can start to think about different stuff. But you need to plan to get that million first.
That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. Get power, wealth, and influence. Go get power. Wealth is money. Own something. You get $1 million, you got to own something. Unless you win the lottery or something. You got to own something. I mean, that's just how it is. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. No, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying.
That's my thing. This message works for everybody. I don't care if you Pan-African, Christian, Muslim, Kemet, Ma'at, whatever you want to be. If you measure it by success, by wealth and having something and owning something, I mean, who can be against that? I mean, Dr. Claude was broke, was fought down by Kwame Kilpatrick and those guys in Detroit. Now look at Detroit. Dr. Clark tried to come in and save Detroit, and they fought him tooth and nail. Just like what they call the Detroit 300. They fought them tooth and nail. They fought those brothers tooth and nail because they came and interrogated them about their these females. The guy used their car and shot a little girl, and they were using their car. So the Detroit 300 came and interrogated them. And I guess they didn't like the manner of questioning, so they're suing them. And where are they getting the money to sue somebody from? See there? Because somebody it's somebody with money that's driving that. These sisters ain't had the money to be talking about going and getting lawyers and all that and suing. But some feminists want this to go through because they don't like men, especially black men, standing together.
Yeah, man. I see you on that. But, back to the Dr. Claude Anderson, I think that whatever his plan, to me, I like to see results. Like, if you talking a good game, and you say, are we going to do this in Detroit? I'm going to stand back, man. I'm going to stand back and watch. I'm either on the side clapping or on the side saying, I told you so. But you can't.
It's not an I told you so thing, man. The guy's, he's already got some level of success. He owns some things now. He's making moves. It's not a spectator. We got to participate. If you don't participate, then it's like you can't sit and watch one guy try to save the whole of black. This guy ain't, I mean, this ain't Neo from The Matrix. I mean, this guy, he's just one guy. It should be way more than him out there. He's by himself. So, yeah, it's going to be some losses. It's going to be some victories along the way. It's going to take time. I mean, it just is. You got to have a long-term approach, man. These Luciferians, and you look those guys up, they were talking 300 years ago what's going to happen today. They were talking about it. We give up, oh, man, that's going to take too long. We want something right now. We want it right now. We want it to be within the next 10 years. I need to own and control. Man, it don't happen like that. People that, when stuff like that happen to people, they are a big, major, major success story. Most 9 times out of 10 people don't make their money till they're in their 50s and 60s. They've been trying since they was 19.
Hey, Alabama, here's the one thing that I've seen. I lived in Detroit. I lived in New York. I've been to Baltimore times, might as well tell this here. But this stuff don't happen, like you said, don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
You got to realize, we tried, Cleveland's trying to be the steak by the lake. So this is what we say in Northeast Ohio. Doing anything to get you off of my mind. But when the morning comes, I'm right back where I started again. And trying to forget you is just a waste of time. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it is 7 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 8th of July. Hope you're having a good day today. Jeff and I are sitting in the studio. Tomorrow, 6 and I'll be here. Okay, Jeff, go back to the phone line.
They need to go back to where?
Go back to the phone
they
line.
They ain't got nothing to say. They have nothing to say.
Did Larry hang
no,
up?
That was Player. That's not Hall & Oates. I thought it was, too. I used to think that, too. Called Player. They're called Player.
Player.
What?
And some of that Blue Eyed Soul sounded so good. It was like it was Hall & Oates. It was Player. There was the White, Average White Band. There was Ambrosia. There's a lot of them that sound pretty
good.
Yeah,
absolutely. Go back, but see, a lot of people might call you a sellout for that, you know? But you know it. You know it.
I don't know nothing.
You do, too.
I don't know anything. There was something that came up in the news, and I wanted to bring it up, and I can't remember now. What do y'all think about President Obama going to Texas? And Perry said he's not going to meet him at the plane. He will not do a photo op with him.
Wait. Not only is he going to Texas, he's not going to go to the border.
That's the point. The governor of the state of Texas says he's not going to meet him at the plane. There will not be a photo op. And then President Obama trying to arrange a meeting, a side meeting with him.
Must the plan.
Skip that. Not going.
I don't blame him because you know what? He's going to try to strong arm into supporting this the thing.
Well, it's not a strong arm. What I think it is.
You know
is he's
got to get rid of these black folks.
No, what it is, he doesn't want. The same thing that happened to him. Who's making noise?
Somebody
the
making noise.
The same thing that happened to him.
It ain't me. It ain't Alabama. Don't mute my mic.
It's Eric, I bet you. But anyway, go ahead.
I think he doesn't want the same thing to happen to him that happened to Christie. Because, you know, either I'm going to slap you. Because, Brewer, is her name Brewer?
Jan Brewer.
Jan Brewer.
Yeah.
I'm in Arizona. She met with the president, and her gestures threw her under the bus. You had Christie. He met the president, and his gestures threw Christie under the bus.
It
so
should have.
Perry said, I ain't meeting you. Get that. Because you'll never throw me. It's either I'm going to slap you or I'm going to hug you. And I'm going to get killed either way. So I'm not meeting you because I don't like you.
He's going to get some of them Texas Rangers to go lynch that Negro.
Oh, no. See, you are such mixed up.
Let me tell you like this. Texas Rangers will respect the law of the land because that's what they do. They totally don't like what's going on because the law is being disrespected out of Washington, D.C. So
who's South Carolina?
What noise Covina. Is that? Covina, is that background around you?
No, I mute myself after I finish talking.
Okay, is that TV?
I don't know.
Alabama, it must be you.
Why you say that?
Because it's a lot of noise.
We hear a lot of...
That ain't me.
Sounds like
I'm sitting still in the room on the done couch. I ain't doing nothing.
Are you watching TV?
TV is muted. The TV is muted.
Okay. Okay, good deal.
But ain't me.
And during the break, me and Alabama was talking, and we heard like a loud squeal like for about a minute and a half. So it was
Oh, wow.
It wasn't us. It was somebody else.
Yeah, phone hanging up. That's all. Forgive us. But
is it
anyway.
Still on? I can't hear nothing. Y'all hear it?
No, it ain't on now. It's not on now. We're good. We're good. But, there's a lot.
The Westview News. I'm talking out loud. Is there a paper somewhere in the country called the Westview News?
I don't know. Well, what are you saying?
Joe Madison, who is also he's a liberal target.
He's very liberal.
Yeah. I said liberal. Jeez, old man.
No, he's very liberal. He's far.
He's a liberal talk show host on Sirius Radio and XM. And he made a reference to President Obama and the newspaper. And the newspaper is called Westview News. And they said there's an N word in the White House. And that's how that was the byline for the column in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
That was recent. That was today.
Okay.
They actually wrote the word out.
Okay.
I got to read the article. I got to find the article. When did they start putting the N-word in the newspaper? They don't want me to say the N-word, and I'm colored, and they don't want to say the N-word. How are you going to put the N-word in the newspaper?
I'm just telling you.
It was the headline, Jeff.
Okay. And what did the story say?
I don't know. They didn't show the story.
They got to show the story that they're going to try to make a...
They ain't showing the story. They showing the headline.
I bet you Westview News is controlled by white people.
Well, guess what? I could have bet you that because you ain't got a black newspaper in the country. Hello? Whose fault is that? Bear? White supremacy? The only black paper you got is the Call and Post. Not the Call and Post. What's it called? What's the Muslim's paper?
The Final Call.
The Final Call.
Mm-hmm. Final Call. the Honorable Louis.
So you ain't got to worry about it being a black paper. And did you guys know that they took Jet offline? You can only get Jet on the internet now.
Oh, at least they still. I thought they didn't have it at all. I thought they got rid of it.
No, just on it online. So you know
what?
Do you have all Jet
another era? That was
Jet
from another
era.
That's when we used to have afros. That's when we used to have afro. We used to have Black Pride. We used to have Soul Train. This is the hip hop era, the online era.
Can
those
I
people look as dinosaurs.
Do you realize Jet Magazine should be and should have been and should continue to be the most powerful political newspaper for Black America? But no, who you going to blame? White supremacy because you don't have it? No, that's our fault, because we don't subscribe to it, and we don't work with it, and we don't deal with it. That's our fault.
It
makes no
disagree.
Sense that we're in a country today that we don't have a nationwide black magazine that deals with the politics of the day, that is nonpartisan and is straight speaking truth to power.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that, Tracy, but I think it would be more advantageous to do that online, digital era. You have a YouTube, you have the internet, you can have your own channel.
Why can't you do both? Women, we're gonna make everything digital because that's where the world is going. But you still don't have everybody in America on the World Wide Web, especially in your most impoverished that you talk about, the poor black man, he all got the foot on his neck. He's the one, he doesn't even have internet because he's still paying a cable bill.
I don't know, they get the Obama phone. Maybe it's wireless too.
But they don't have limit. It's wireless, but they only get so much data per month. It's limiting on how much you can do on the internet with an Obama phone. So instead of us having internet in our house, we get 700 pages of internet and pay TV and pay per view.
Okay,
right.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying okay, Jet, great. I'm saying additional to Jet online things.
Why can't we do it all? But no, we met. You
yes,
said, "Well,
absolutely.
I bet you this paper was owned by white folks." Absolutely right, because you don't own your own.
You don't own anything.
You don't make nothing. Don't own nothing. Don't do nothing. Well, yeah, it was a white-owned paper. They didn't have no black people working there.
Okay, I'm not arguing with you, but if you want to argue, let's say the Final Call had and they put on their. Kike in the White House or Kike in the Supreme Court.
They're not going to put that in there.
Exactly. Black people don't really talk
about it. And you know why? No. Let me tell you why they won't. It's because they're respected and we're not.
That's true.
And we need to understand that people fear us, but they don't respect us. And until we respect ourselves, we will never be respected by others. And 440 called in last week and he said, it's not the color of your skin that people have a problem with. It's the culture that you represent.
Yeah, that's a new byline about
that is
supremacy.
So that is so true.
We ain't gonna say nothing about black people. We don't like them thugs. Like they think everybody's a thug.
You don't
think
listen.
Time
you can,
a thug.
You can call me. I know. Hey, Kobe, you can call me a
thug.
I know I'm a thug. I come from thugocracy. It's okay to be a thug, but you're gonna respect the thug in the neighborhood. The problem is we're not respected.
I'm just trying to let you know how white supremacy is transforming the vocabulary. They call Richard Sherman a thug.
I got it.
He's a millionaire.
But do you understand? We need
to
be respected in America. No, we
do
need to be respected. You don't have. I got a better understanding than you will ever have.
This is the thing that gets me. And South, you come on in. Yeah, South is coming in. You're not paying attention to what she just really said to you in how you are marginalized and not even paid attention to in most cases. You're kept under control in this country. Why do you think they're flooding the country with south of the border people? You know why? South of the border people don't have a sense of the government got to do it for you situation like we do now. They created us and they made us too dependent. Now we can't do nothing and they're spending a lot of money just to keep us under control.
But Jeff, your argument is flawed because you're talking about the people coming across the border. They're in more. They use the system more than black folks do here in California.
But guess what?
They don't stay on the
system as long as we.
Oh, you're right.
California. Listen, we are generationally. We're going like 4 or 5 generations deep on public assistance. Whereas your immigrants and the people that are, that come here from Latino descent, very few stay on the system.
Let me just tell you, you're wrong. Give me a website.
I don't want your opinion.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you how it is.
I don't want you to tell me how it is. I want you to give me a website. Give me a fact. Read something to me that's in front of you that I can go and reference that. Because remember, I lived in California too.
Yeah, you lived in California. California has been transformed by illegal immigration.
I'm telling you.
They live on the system. They have generations of. Where do you think these MS-13 thugs come from?
So you want to call them a thug?
The MS-13. That's a terrorist group. Where do you think they come
from?
What? A terrorist group that comes from right here in my neck of the woods. I'm in Southern California. I'm in their neck of the woods. San Gabriel Valley. That's where they come from.
They don't come from there. They come from the south. They come up from Baja straight up.
You're wrong. They came from here and they went down there. They brought their illegal immigrants up here decades ago. They came to California, became the thugs, became the terrorist group, and then left from here, went back there, and started running the drug trade. Do your history.
Listen,
you're talking about MS-13, the gang.
The gang.
Yeah, he's correct about that.
But I'm talking about the majority of people that are of Latino descent are not a part of MS-13.
No, but you don't understand how once they came here, they became Tijuana, California.
Covina, man, you're changing the subject.
I do that for a living.
Covina man, you don't. Covina man,
I'm going to work with the people who are on welfare
We're not talking about the gang. We're talking about people of Latin descent. Those people are now the mayor of the city of Youngstown. Those people are in city council. Those people are actually making legislation. They are hired through the state legislature, and they are doing what's necessary to shape California into what they want it to become. And it is not the one that's going to actually represent African Americans that live in California. They come here as immigrants. They're just like the Italians, and they do better. We need to learn from that. That's a problem.
But we're going to be right back after these messages.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your
Now, the thing that Tracy and them don't understand, if you want to know about illegal immigration, you have to look at California, Southern California. That's why the people in Marietta was on there talking about we don't want these people coming in. California has a different experience with immigration, with the Latin American countries, than the rest of the country. They just look at, like, oh, these great Latino people, as soon as they show up here, they become Superman. They're going to come in and they're going to transform the country. They're going to improve the economy and do all that stuff. We in Southern California, we don't swallow that garbage. We understand how California used to look 25, 30 years ago, what California is now. We don't buy no rhetoric. Don't come in here, we're talking about how great these people are. We understand how the school systems are flooded, the hospitals are flooded, you can't get jobs, you can't speak Spanish. We understand the real inside of immigration. We know what Tijuana north of the border looks like.
I understand. I used to live there myself. I mean, I was out there for 3.5 years. But here's the problem. You know, we're not the ones that are selling that. We understand totally what a ton of illegal immigrants can do to an economy. Okay, but it seems like you've got folks that are on the liberal side that want these people here, and they're they're wanting them here so they can exploit it. You know, and that's what doesn't make any sense to me. You know, you're going to bring in a more needy population than what you got now? That's ridiculous. And they're doing it just to stay in power.
But yeah, the thing is this too. You have the politician people who want votes in the future, 15 years, 20 years down the line, they want these votes. But you have the people today who running the companies where they don't want to raise minimum wage. They can pay these Julio and them under the table for less.
Dude, you got to e-verify now. You can't do that. You can't. The only persons that can do that is somebody that has a business that does manual labor. You know, you can't do that in your fast food restaurants. Not without taking a chance of being fined by the federal government. And I don't think getting somebody for, you know, less of, you know, 40 cents a week on a paycheck is worth getting a fine of $10,000 per individual that's not documented.
Let me tell you how easy it is. You can take $40, go down to a park in L.A., which are $40, and get all the documents you need to get a job. $40. They proved it on TV many years ago, and they still do it.
Dude, I remember when I used to go to the back gate of Camp Pendleton. I used to drive from Vista, California, to the back gate of Camp Pendleton, and guys would be standing on the side of the road holding up fingers about how much they would work for an hour. You know, $2 an hour. This is back in the 80s. Okay.
Yes.
So I understand how that works, but here's the problem. You know, that in itself, and people talk about Americans are greedy. Americans are greedy. Americans are selfish. Hell no. It's called self-preservation. When you're on a plane, okay, and they tell you, okay, if we have a catastrophic event and the oxygen masks come down, they tell you to what? They tell that adult to first put the mask on themselves. And then put the mask on the child or whoever the smaller person is there. And what we're doing is just the opposite. We're putting the daggone oxygen mask on other people, and that leaves us out hanging out in the breeze, and we're going to die. That's stupid. That's a liberal mindset. That doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you.
None whatsoever.
I agree with you on that. But I just want you to understand, too, there is another factor in that, and I'm going to agree with you on that. But maybe you can agree with me on this. It's a factor of the people nowadays. I don't care what kind of e-verify, they can undermine it.
Tracy, are you over there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I didn't know you were there.
I'm here.
I couldn't tell.
I'm here.
But anyway.
I'm just saying, I look at all the immigrants that come into this country, and they don't speak the language. They don't they don't know the culture. And they come in, they assimilate, they make their way in, they figure it out, and then they rise. African Americans, we have been here, we are here, and we are allowing everyone to go forward and go beyond us because we won't sit down long enough to learn how to get into the game and play it by the rules and then change the rules once you get in.
Dr. Let me
Manning,
say this real quick.
I played his clip. And I won't play it. I won't play it on the air because I don't. I want to stay here and I don't want to start a firestorm.
Oh.
But Dr. Manning, he speaks some things that, and you don't like how hard he says it. But geez, you know,
he's telling the truth. I hate to say.
Sometimes, I mean, he does say some stuff that happens to be very truthful.
Right.
And it may be a little hard in how he says it, but we need to understand that we need to grow up. I'm trying to work on some projects here at home, and I keep telling you, we carry a cell phone in our hand in our car driving down the street talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I can take a picture of Jeff now and put it on the Internet with no wires. And we still try to do business like we got a cell phone connected to a wire with AT&T called Ma Bell. Things have changed, and if we don't learn how to transition, we're going to be in trouble. And we don't have time to play around. We really don't.
Let me add this real quick because you were saying something about the immigrants don't speak the language. Man, you come into Southern California, you turn on the television, you have the most of the channels are in Spanish. Turn on the radio, most of the radio is in Spanish. You got the newspapers in Spanish. You go to a supermarket, the people can't speak English, they speak Spanish. You go in certain neighborhoods, no one speaks English. You don't have to learn how to speak English in Southern California. You can get into a niche.
Did you hear what I said?
You get into a niche where there's 15 million people that don't speak English.
Listen, there are other people out there, and I want them to get in. But you know, Covina, man, you don't listen. The reason why everything's in Spanish is because somebody influenced the legislation to make sure that everything's in Spanish. Because no one wanted everything to be in English. You understand? Somebody got in the cracks. And when they got in the cracks, they made sure that there was changes made for the people who were not sitting there that were not speaking English. So that everything that you get is now put in English and in Spanish. And that's why your school districts have ESL. That's why there's legislation being passed every day in California to make sure that people who come here of Latin descent can assimilate to the American way. The problem is you live here and there's no legislation being brought in that can make you have a better life here in America. And you're here. And you're voting, and you're a citizen. These people don't even have citizenship yet.
And you got the president flying and busing them into the country and then out to certain cities. What sense does that make? What sense does it make to be advertising in Tijuana how to apply for food stamps in the United States? Does that make any difference to you, Covina?
I mean, when you look at what's going on, look, you got people that don't even vote here. They don't even live here. And they're making legislation for here. You live here, and you don't know how to drive your own legislation. And as a matter of fact, they're using a civil rights bill to get it done.
Get it done. And that's what we're talking about. That's why I'm not impressed with this president. You understand? I would love to have been proud of the first black president, but I'm not. Because he's nothing but a puppet and a pawn. And I'm really, really upset because his policies are killing black people, not just hurting them or harming them, killing them.
But, Jeff, they're killing them because we keep on eating everything that he feeds us.
I agree. That's what
I'm
saying.
He feeds us mush and tells us it's steak, and we say, oh, yeah, this is good steak. And I don't, and until we grow up, we got to start taking responsibility for our own communities, our own neighborhoods, our own children.
South Carolina, you're there. Alabama.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, at some point, we have got to be real with this thing. I mean, you kind of shake your head. I mean, I kind of was watching the Quinnipiac poll showed Obama, President Obama, the worst in World War II, and Whoopi and the whole crew was saying, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. And then they make the comment that this was only 1,400 people, you know. But when they come out and use 1,400 people and say, you know, hey, gay is the new black, everybody's happy.
Well, that's the point. That's the point that I'm talking about, because nobody's going to be genuine about anything. They're going to protect, because he's liberal, they're going to protect him to the death. I don't sit up there and protect conservatives to the death. I could care less. If they act crazy, I'm going to say, that's crazy what they're doing. I'm not going to sit up there and agree with it because I'm a conservative.
My God.
That doesn't make sense. Alabama, you there?
Yeah. The thing with the illegals coming into the country that I don't think people really think through is that, no, I ain't going to say people, black people hadn't thought through. Yeah, they're going to come and they're going to vote themselves resources. Okay. But they still want jobs. They want housing. And they look, they're not like us. They don't come over and intermingle. They come over. They think it has to be like me. They kind of like a termite or something. When you see one termite, they're going to be eggs, larvae. They're going to produce until you're just completely, just like California. Like, there are no black people. It's like 7%. The Hispanics are just taking that state over. Black people are no longer welcome in that state. Like, they come in gangs, auto, everything, drugs, whatever little industry that black people think they got, they took that over. So it's going to happen. And quite frankly, I hate to say it, we probably need a kick in the butt to wake up. I think it's coming sooner than it.
within the next couple of decades, black people going to wake up and say, man, we shouldn't have pushed these Hispanics because this brown-black pride thing, these people ain't – they're not coming over here. Not going to be loyal to black people.
They're not coming over here to be black. They're coming over here to be American.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not coming over here to be black.
And this is what gets me. This is what gets me. The majority of them do not like black people.
No.
Because they feel the same about – they don't respect you. They don't have to like you. They don't respect you because we've told them, don't respect me.
And plus, the people that you vote for make sure that they think, look at these guys. They've been here all this time, and they ain't worth it. They're not worth this. And you got people voting, getting paid to vote down in Mississippi to go vote for a man, a Republican, that they don't want to vote for the Republican, which is funny to me. And they hate Republicans, but at the same time they wouldn't voted for old Thad Cochran, okay? Because they were going to take your programs, and your programs are welfare, early lunch and early breakfast. Now, how does that make you feel that that's all that you're relegated to in this society?
Larry Long, he understands. He's getting ready to get his welfare check. Ain't you, Larry Long?
That's me.
Okay.
Did you apply for welfare last week, man?
No, but I was just telling Tracy it's filet mignon. It's not just a regular steak. It's filet mignon that you eat.
I've seen people. I saw somebody buy lobster tails with a direction card. And I can't buy I don't like them. I can't eat them, but
Jeff,
I can't
Jeff,
buy
Jeff,
lobster tails.
I told you. And I'm not going to forget this. I told you I was standing in line at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The lady bought a case of Red Bull and then had to pull out some money for some toilet paper. Now, I just want you to understand. Red Bull is not a necessity. And they tell me when I use my coupon, I'm talking about you didn't buy the right size. If that be the case, then that direction card should not be paying for Red Bull. It shouldn't be paying for certain stuff. Yeah, it's a free country, but you're using my money to pay for it. And Red Bull is not a necessity.
No. No. But do you have any choice about that? No. You have no choice. You have no choice. So, now, that's where I pose the question to you, Kavina Man. Because you think it's all about race. Well, what do you do with that? How do we get around that, man? How do we deal
with
this?
What?
Somebody going and buying a case of Red Bull with a direction card.
You want me to tell you how you get around it? One, you educate them. But those of us who know better, we have to start doing better. Because, see, we have lost. We are the ones who are supposed to be representing them in the marketplace. And every time we go somewhere, we sell them out too. And those of us who are on the opposite side, they swear up and down, we're a sellout because we're Republican.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let me. I was trying to cook breakfast. That's why I was quiet here. But let me say this. I don't think that black. I think I said this on this program before. By 2020, black folks are probably not going to be as Democrat as they are today. They're not going to be Republicans. Republicans offer zero. So it's like you have zero. But I'm just saying, listen, they either get zero from the Republicans, which they're not going to vote Republican. They're the enemy.
That makes no sense.
But let me just finish my thought before you say it don't make no sense. They're not going to vote Republicans. The Republican is the enemy. And the Democrats, they're just going to be disillusioned and throw your hands up. So you're going to have half of the black folks voting than they are today because they're gonna stop believing in it. That's just what I'm saying. Let me go back
to president. Listen, Colvin, a minute. You know what? Let me say this: the day we walk away from the ballot box is the day we are defeated. The reason why we are backwards today is because we have not learned how to garner our vote for power. Going back to what I said a little bit earlier, we are not powerful. We're not respected. You say, well, we got to have money. It's not about your money. It's about your power. It's about your influence and what you do. And that's not what we're doing. And we're not smart. We don't stick together. We don't communicate. And we don't listen. If there's a better way for you to get somewhere, do something, don't you think I should tell you, and don't you think you might want to listen to it?
You're making a statement, too, a blanket statement about Republicans are your enemy. No, they're not. They're not your enemy. They are the same vehicle that you're trying to feel yourself being as the Democrat Party. But the only thing is the Democrat Party gives you a placekeepers. They give you government programs to keep you in place. They don't allow you to prosper. Some do. I didn't say nobody does, but some do. But they don't give you something that helps. The Republicans offer freedom to take part in the marketplace. Black entrepreneurism grew under Ronald Wilson Reagan. And I told you, I was not a Reagan fan. But you have to give him his due. Not a Clinton fan. I give Clinton his due because of some of the – he was smart enough to make deals with Congress to get what he wanted and for them to get what they wanted.
Just yesterday, I said the problem with the – you weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me a question about the difference between President Obama and President Bush. And I said President Obama is not a leader. Leaders understand his weaknesses and how to bring people together.
Right.
Whereas President Obama has not brought anyone together for anything, for any cause, no matter what.
No.
And that does not make a leader. Look at Chicago. I mean, he can't even bring them people together. That's his home state.
He ain't trying to bring nobody together.
85 shootings this past weekend.
That's the point.
I thought they told me 64.
Wait.
85.
Wait, they forced... They brought Rahm Emanuel down there. What did Rahm Emanuel do for you?
He got some money.
He got money, and he got control of that city.
Pretty much.
And guess what? It's running amok. Afternoons, mornings with Tracy and Friends. We'll be back in a minute. And I wish on all the rainbows.
Yeah, I'm still eating breakfast here, but I did want to say that I'm trying to get out here early, a little bit early today, because I'm bicycling right now to work and around town. I'm on a personal gas boycott, and I'm waiting on these dealers to get.
I know they're hitting y'all for $5 out there in Cali. We paying $3.45, $3.50. I know that. They know they killing y'all out there.
I think the last time, I don't even know, because I stopped buying gas, man. I'm on a gas boycott. I'm getting my electric car hopefully this week. They're sending me some offers. I got my check ready to purchase, and right now just bicycling. I'm refusing to buy any gas.
They got certain cars that if you stay under 45, it's all electric. And they say you run through a tank of gas in like a month or two. Just depends on how you ride, so... I'll probably do that.
Yeah, I'm getting Nissan Leaf, which is 100% electric, no gas. I don't ever want to buy gasoline ever again. I'm going to keep my gas car just in case, but I don't ever want to buy any.
Yeah, you can't really knock somebody trying to get off gas, man. I don't blame you, dog. Like, we could have been off gas 70, 80 years ago if we'd have wanted to. We could have been off gas, man. We could be running on water. which makes a lot of sense since it's so abundant.
Yeah, it's gotten so bad now, man, but the oil companies are suing solar power plants, and they don't want people to have solar power in certain states, man. That's Koch brothers.
Just look up the patents. Just look up the patents that these gas companies have bought up. Talking about they going to bring some out, car companies. They just want to stop people from – they want to stop competition. That's why I don't call that capitalism. I don't call that capitalism. I call that corporatism. It's really – they've used the government to stop people from competing with them because they'd be out of – they'd have been out of business. Being out of business, man.
Yeah. I don't know if this new
like Tesla.
To me, that's
they don't like Tesla. Tesla makes some great cars, man.
Yeah, that's way out of my price range. Those cars are like $70,000 and up.
Yeah, hey, but wait a couple of years, they'll go down. People probably ain't gonna sell them, but you probably get them for about 30 something.
Yeah, hopefully, man. But I think the car I'm getting, I'm trying to see if I can get it for right around $30,000.
What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to catch up on the news.
No. Hey, there's a lot of stuff in the news.
I have a question for you guys. Can I change the subject? I can.
Do what you want to do.
Is it okay for a woman to hit a man and versus the man hitting a woman? Does it make a difference?
I think it should be the same.
It makes a difference.
What's the difference?
Women are allowed to hit men. Men are not allowed to hit women.
So it's okay?
That's what I was always taught.
No, let me ask you. This is why I'm asking, because I just posted something on Facebook, and I was watching it during the break, and it was a man who cheated on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did was she wooed him. He went to take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she found out he was cheating, and so she changed her clothes, put her blue jeans on. She got some baby. I guess they had a ceramic tile floor.
Mm-hmm.
He got in the shower. He took off his clothes. He got in the shower, and she put some baby oil on the floor. Wrapped a towel around his waist. And she starts talking junk. He jumped out the shower on side of this on this ceramic towel, baby oil on the towel. She starts whipping him with a belt. And I'm sitting here laughing because, he getting the whooping. But if it had been a woman, if the roles had been reversed, would it still be as funny?
Yeah. Yeah. It would not be funny at all.
It would not be funny, and it would be very, very politically incorrect.
Right.
So my question is there a difference between one and the other? Hey, turn the phones up.
No, the phones are up.
Phones ain't up.
Yes, they are.
So is that what they call a
I don't know what the word is, so don't ask me. It's a contradiction?
Contradiction or is that it? Is something wrong with that?
I think that was definitely done by a feminist.
Oh, that's funny.
That it was done by a feminist. Because it does make a difference. And I just thought it was a good question to ask. Because I see where women, we say some things, and we sit back and laugh, and the guys laugh. But if the roles were reversed, we'd be in real big trouble. We'd really be upset about it.
Well, there's no doubt about it. See, because a big old man fighting a woman in the first place is what you're looking at. But
there's some pretty strong women out there.
So what you guys are saying is if you're out with your mom and some females jump on your mom, you're going to stand there and watch them beat your mama to sleep because you don't hit a woman?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't.
Okay.
That ain't
got nothing to do with it. We're talking about couples.
I hear
really.
People say under certain circumstances, men should never hit under any circumstances. Bull. It's just certain circumstances. I feel like a woman crossed the line, and you can beat her. You can hit her just like you hit a man. I think it can get to that point.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not finna let nobody whoop my mom. That's just the bottom line. I'm not going to do
that. Hold on, but see, your mama shouldn't be whipping on your mom, period.
Well, I've seen videos. I saw a video of a woman getting beat up and the son's just standing right there watching because there's a woman.
Oh, that's just, I mean,
it's
no.
more than
I
one
mean,
chick.
I,
that's three
the
chicks.
Question is, why
three
was,
chicks
why was
thumping your mom out, well, and you just standing there.
Why was her mama getting beat up?
I don't know what she's getting beat up for.
Listen,
I don't care what it is.
Listen,
I don't care. Look,
my mama did something illegal. Wait a minute. Alabama, listen, if your mama is getting beat up, before you jump into the fight, you need to find out what your mama doing. Because ain't no mama supposed to be getting beat up.
No.
Especially if you a grown man. Because if you a grown man and your mama over 40, what in the heck is she getting beat up about, especially by another person? That's crazy. Because by the time you get to 40,
Hold on. I'm going to give you more insight. It seems like it was over a guy. That's all I'm going to say. So
okay.
It's over a guy.
Grown women.
Ain't nobody going to beat my mama.
Listen, there's a problem. If you're 40 years old and you in a fight, there's a problem there. I mean, am I missing something? Seriously.
No, you ain't missing nothing. You ain't missing nothing. I'm just saying. I just hear people all the time say you should never hit a woman, never hit a woman. And there are circumstances where a woman crosses a line and can be hit.
Let me ask you, if a woman falls her fist up, listen.
You got big women out here, a ball they fists up. I seen dudes get beat to sleep by big women. Some of these chicks, you need to come full speed with them. Don't be playing like there's some man, like it's some little female. You need to come full speed and go with them. Because if not, you finna get beat to sleep. I seen it. And I'm sorry.
I
done seen females beat their boyfriends up. And his boyfriend holding back, and she ain't, and it gets real bad.
Listen, I asked the question for a reason because I'm trying to say, because I've watched women slap men. I've watched a woman sucker punch a man not too long ago and said, "Wow," and he took it. I was impressed with him taking it, and I don't think a woman should ever have her hands laid on a man, and I definitely don't think he ought to lay hands back on her. But my question is, at 40 plus years old, I shouldn't be getting a butt whipping, getting hit, because if you hit me, I'm going to shoot you. Jeff.
What?
Well, hold on. Your answer implies class and dignity, and we're talking about hood rats. We're talking about people that, you know what I'm saying? Let's just be honest. Now, we ain't talking about your average doctor or lawyer out here fighting on the streets. We talking about some hood rats.
If you hit me, I'm going to shoot you. So it behooves me to stay out of the way of the hitting line because I don't want to go to the jail because I got allergies. I told y'all I'm allergic to jail. I can't do it. Because I told you earlier, I know I'm a thug. I ain't turned my thug card in.
You're inward.
Absolutely.
So you really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Do you know what that means?
Absolutely.
Tracy's a
thug.
Hold on.
So Tracy, if you're a thug, if somebody step on your shoe, you gonna go sit in a jail cell for 15 years because you're gonna try to fight them to the death.
No.
That's what thugs do.
That's not what thugs do.
No, that's not what thugs do.
No, a thug will disrespect you, and if you get upset, hold on, let me talk. If a thug will disrespect somebody, and if you get upset and say something back to the thug, they want to fight you to the death because you're supposed to let them talk to you like that.
Remember, I'm a thug from another generation. All right.
Okay.
See, thugs are smart.
I'm finna brush my teeth. Go ahead. I hear you. I'm brushing my teeth. Got to get my breath right.
Let's do that. It's an important habit you have. You go brush your teeth. Thugs, y'all don't understand. Thugs from my generation were very, very smart. I'm a thug from Youngstown. We have real thugs here. They in business now for real. What you laughing at, Jeff?
That's true.
You know, we live Chi-Town here. Thugs are smart. Thugs don't show their whole hand. Thugs lay in the cut and wait. They don't forget that you stepped on their shoe.
No.
But they don't pull out a knife and cut you right then and there either. That's how you go to jail.
That's how you go to jail.
But when you come back and ask me to shine your shoes, I'm going to cut your foot off.
Yeah, that's just true.
You can't be a real thug and fear jail, though. You can't be a real thug and fear jail.
Oh,
if you don't want to go to jail, if you're afraid to go to jail, then that means you ain't willing to do what it takes to
you
get
gotta,
what it
you
is
start,
you want. If
you, got, you,
if you willing to do what it takes to get what it is you want, then you're a thug.
Listen, Alabama, listen here. You need to go read a book called Hitting It.
Okay. Yeah. I knew a couple. I've known two hitmen in my life. Really.
I just read about them.
One is a friend and one isn't, but.
You should be friends with all hitmen.
No, I mean, I'm not close to the one.
You should be
close
to all hitmen.
No, I don't want to be close to the hitman. Oh, wait a minute. Here go my thing on TV.
What?
The world's tallest water slide.
If you were to open where?
I don't know, but waterworks, water parks and resorts, I don't know. But anyway, that's my thing. I love slides. I love big slides.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. The number's 347-945-5229. Hey, pull up Stanley. I just want folks to know, thugs are relative, and thug is not the new ender. But if you're gonna be smart about it. You don't go to jail. But you just don't pick up you step on my foot and I can come night and stab you. That's just crazy.
I think thug is the new N-word. I agree with him. I agree with Richard Sherman when he said that.
It's not. Because where did the origin of thug come from?
I can't remember.
Stanley, are you a thug?
Yes, no.
Stanley, a bully.
No, no.
Are you a bully?
No. Tell me, Stanley, you just a hustler. Stanley, just a hustler.
No, I'm just somebody
right.
who...
I'm just a hustler.
Yeah, I would think I'm a hustler, and I'm a person who believe responsibility is the most important thing for every human being.
Very good. How you doing today, Stanley?
I'm doing a lot better. Thank you for doing what you did yesterday, Teresa. I appreciate it.
You're
I'm loving to disturb, but I'm okay. I'm getting better, taking day
good.
By day.
Good.
Well,
okay. We're here.
Yeah, I want to come back to what Jeff said, because there's one thing that I agree a lot of things with what he said. We have some stuff in common, responsibility, accountability. There's many things we have in common. I'm a Democrat, he's a Republican. But I don't agree when he says Republicans are for freedom. Some are. Maybe Democrat could say the same thing. They're for another way of doing things. I just don't believe that all Republicans are just for freedom. And what are you talking about freedom? What are you talking about? Are you talking about the freedom of doing what you want whenever you want? I'm sorry. Some Republicans are not for that. They're not for some people getting the knowledge. They're not for that. If they were for that, they would be pushing that people saying stop trying to have a job and try to own up something if they were for freedom. They're not pushing for that. I don't see Republicans pushing for that. I hear Republicans just pushing for saying we want to tax less the people – who own a business because we think it will bring jobs.
I got to get some clarity. How'd you get to Republicans and I said, I'm a thug? Doggone it. How'd you get there?
No, I said I want to go back to what Jeff said.
Oh.
Because
you go back to Jeff talking about Republicans and Democrats. Go ahead.
That's what he said. I heard him say, Republicans are for freedom. And I'm like,
yes.
Where?
Yes. The period, because look, everything the Democrats have passed in the past 20 years have restricted your freedom. The things that Republicans pass are things that try to enhance being free from government. That's what they're about. They want commerce to move. Look, you have no commerce moving. That's why you have nobody working. You got 93 million Americans out of work.
Yeah, but let me say this, and let's be really honest about this. Right now, we are dealing with a partisanship that is broken completely. And even if you change the leadership in the White House, it may not change the situation, because if you don't have people who are making common sense decisions for the good of the country and not the good of their own personal agenda, we will never be in.
Who got wild land creatures in the back?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't think we understand that. Right now, because of the apathy of the American people,
we're fractured as a nation. We're fractured. We're not being together. We're not saying to each other, I don't care, Democrat or Republican, we're not saying if he did wrong, he did wrong, Republican or Democrat.
I was in a meeting yesterday, and I was having a conversation, and it was really it's about something that I'm going to hopefully do in the future. And I was talking about, if you look at ISIS, ISIS stands for what? Iraq, Syria, Iran, and something else, doesn't it?
Whatever.
Isn't it a united front over in the Middle East?
Yeah, united front.
Over, am I correct?
Organization, yeah.
So the United States stood for what?
Well, not if it's called
democracy, more
but
or less.
The United States stood for united, am I correct? A republic that was united against a global society.
Yeah, but wait a minute. We got to go. We're going to take a break real quick until we get this noise stopped on the line. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. Tracy's here and she's doing her thing. We'll be right back.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday.
Hey, who's on the line?
Stanley, the thing is, like, look at it this way. If you're born in America, American citizen, and your ancestors, especially if you of African descent born in America, I'm not a Republican. I'm not, but I do think that, in a sense, I think it's best to take care of people that are naturally born here. I don't think if you're not an American citizen, you come here, that it's considered you're not for freedom if you're for them. Hey, let's do this the right way. Let's make sure that they come in and get the proper citizenship and do it the right way instead of just coming in and jumping in line in front of thousands and millions of people that's been trying to be American citizens, namely hold on, we'll turn your people back. Your people from your country, they turn them back with the quicks. They get deported real fast. But the Mexicans coming up, they show them love. So you should be against this because they ain't letting your people over here. Your people got to go through hell, Stanley, to get over here to get to do the things that you do. And I don't think that's right. I think it should be, make it 6 months where people can come and get their citizenship, but don't just let some people, don't reward erroneous behavior. Let's go ahead and reform the way we have our immigration so that people can come over here and it's a viable option, not just, okay, well, come over here, it's going to take them 8 to 10 years to be an American citizen, which shows the stupidity of government. But that's another story.
I agree to a certain degree, this, but I think the Republicans are more for, like you say, corporate enterprise and protecting them, this and that. They're not for the pure freedom and individual. Because the pure freedom and individual is basically telling people that, like, I agree with what you're saying, that you need to own up things. You need to control your financial need. And if you don't control your financial need, you're a slave, in my book. You're not free. If you can't say to yourself that tomorrow, if I want to earn $1,000, $2,000, whatever you want to earn, I'm able to create it, you're a slave. Because you're dependent on somebody else. So that's not freedom.
In that case, nobody's free. Most people aren't free. Most. Not all. Of course, most aren't free. True freedom is to be able to write
your own.
But
you know that America was born in that freedom. America was a free nation because we didn't have that mentality. America was about what I'm talking about.
But their job, let me make a point, though. To say that a person that wants a job, that works for a company, is it free? In a sense, I agree because I agree with Robert Kiyosaki, but it's just like saying a house is not an asset. Technically, according to generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, it is. But in a sense, it isn't, effectively. I agree. I think that you're not free working for someone and you're not generating anything just because you got a bachelor's degree in a job. That's none of those are things you can leave your child. Those are a means to an end. They should be. But we don't think like that. But
that's
on you as a person, as an individual. If you decide to go work a 9-to-5 and buy a house and spend every penny you got and try to depend on your 401k for your retirement, that's your stupidity.
Exactly. And that's you not being free. That's you depending.
We're paying all-time highs for stock right now in 401ks. And people still dumping thousands and thousands of dollars in there. But you can't come talk to them and tell them, hey, man, let's go buy a lawnmower and cut some grass on the weekend. They think that's stupid.
Yeah, all right, that's more risk. So let's take some money together and try to get a building so we could own up rent so that people could pay. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
People Look, man, you could buy tax properties. You could buy tax properties and get away about a thousands of times more return just buying tax properties, which aren't that expensive. I mean, you can get tax houses in Alabama for $200-$300. I mean, you really
yeah.
can. They in the hood, but you can literally buy a house for $300.
Yeah, you could go to the people who know how to make money, like, I don't know, stop, talk, and things like that, if you like those things, and buy a computer, buy those things, and go get the course, $3,000-$5,000, and it's going to be more than your college degree, and they're going to teach you how to go get the money.
I'm actually about to fly out to Vancouver, Canada right now and learn how to do scalp pigmentation, because their guys paying $5,000-$6,000. Just you think about it, when black guys go get the haircut, they get that Beijing put in their head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna fly out to Canada and learn how to do scalp pigmentation, and guys will pay me $2,000-$3,000 to do it, and it'll take me 2 or 3 hours to do it.
And I'm doing that
in my spare time now. That's just something I do on the side.
But like I've always said, people don't want to invest. People don't want to be free. I'm telling you. I've known people personally, friends personally, that I said, I paid $5,000 for the course because you're my friend or I love you as a friend. Here is a $5,000 course. Just follow it and do what they say. 3 months later, did you follow it? Oh, man, I got problems with money. I can't get no money. Did you follow the course that I gave you for free that's worth $5,000? Oh, man, I don't got the time. I don't got this. So you don't want to be free.
But that therein lies self-personal responsibility. That's why when foreigners get here, when people from Africa and all these different countries get here, they're wealthy in 10 years. They got all types of money they ride, and they live on the best side of town. I can't knock, though. I'm not upset with those people. I'm upset with the people that don't take advantage of what's right in front of them.
Exactly. And I'm not upset. I could take that for everyone. I could take that for
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Talking about was beating a man down. I just want to know.
No. What I was saying.
Are you in the car now?
We were talking.
Who's in
the
car with the windows down? On
Larry Long.
It ain't me. It ain't me.
He got it now.
I got my windows up.
But you want a Bluetooth? A cheap Bluetooth?
No, he was. He had the window down.
Driving a hybrid with all electric on, so it can't be my car.
And it's
really?
Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're doing all right today. Unless it's outside of the telephone ringing and the bells buzzing and people talking to you, we know who you are. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Welcome to Tracy and Friends in the Morning. We are here, and you are there. And Alabama don't want to, he don't want to wrestle with a big fat woman. You know, y'all just break a person's heart.
Some of these big women, he cracked in when he said that. I was rolling.
And you know, some of these little girls take you out too. Don't think they won't.
No, they show real.
They don't let size fool you. They got a couple cans of two out there.
Yeah.
If you're gonna fight
yeah.
one, if you're gonna fight one of these big women, you better come full speed. That's all I'm saying.
Why she gotta be a big woman? That's what I want to know.
Look here. I thought you was from the hood.
Thank
why
you.
Why she gotta be a big woman?
Thank you.
All women
look
that
here,
fight
this
big.
Small, look, ain't
listen.
No 90-pound woman. A 90-pound woman usually get one good lick off on a guy, but uh-huh. she ain't just gonna just beat a dude and drag him and I done seen big chick
have you met
dude,
Ali?
Grab him by his feet, drag him downstairs. I'm dead serious. And we'll beat a dude bloody. I'm telling you,
wait
we are animals.
Layla Ali is not anybody's small woman.
But she ain't no big woman.
She is
a big woman.
She's
Layla
over
Ali
six
is an
foot.
Exception to the rule.
No, wait a minute.
Hold on.
I'm waiting.
No, okay, I'm going to tell you. Layla Ali said, they asked her, she said, I've beat men boxers. She said she can. But there's just a different thing fighting the average man. The strength is different. I mean, this is from Layla Ali. Now, can she beat some men? Of course. She probably beat 90% of most brothers on the street, man. Don't get it twisted. But
that's what I'm trying
what I'm saying
to
say. Is, we talking
she
about, hold on, we
woman.
Talking about the lady that got the genetics of Muhammad Ali. That's, I mean, this is, look at who you're talking about. I mean, Layla Ali, a genetic freak most of the time, compared to most women on the street. But it's some women in the hood I've seen that can go with guys. And so when you out here talking about you shouldn't hit a woman, and some of these women will talk to you and say things. Women got tongues that are cut or like a razor. And you say something Ooh. To them, like, uh-oh, sister, I disagree. And they'll talk like a man. They talk like, you know, you ain't man enough, you ain't this, you. They'll come up, they'll hit you, push you, slap you. And I'm just saying, I mean, some of these sisters out here, you know, might need a little one-two. I mean, they might need it. I'm telling you, because if not,
Alabama,
they'll beat you to sleep.
Still single. I'm trying to marry you off. That's why you're still single. Talking about a woman every
look,
night.
I ain't saying
one,
I'm
going
to beat no woman. Now, hold, wait a minute now. Don't get up. I'm not saying I'm a woman beater. I'm just telling you that, first of all, if I got a chick that's like that, we're going to find out in the middle of dating, and I'm going to politely drop her off. And that'll be the last time we talk. Because I don't talk to women that think they got that type of mouth. And when they got that mouth like that, I ain't got time for it. That's why with men, like, peace and quiet when they come home, they don't want to hear all that whining and screaming and hollering over any and every little small nook and cranny. Let stuff. Men are quiet, peaceful guys. That's why we don't really make good reality TV shows. Because 9 times out of 10, men are just chop it up. Look here, player, this is what happened. Yeah, man, my bad. Da-da. And we move on. Women? Anybody got time for that?
Go ahead.
Alabama, tell us how you really feel. Larry.
How you doing, Tracy?
Tell this man that, you know, if he don't want to be married, because I don't care what he do, we don't never shut up.
No, y'all don't never
you
shut up.
You want peace and quiet? You can't be peace and quiet and married, too. You got to have one or the other. You can't have both.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Not how it works.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something like this. Women that's in their 20s that are quiet, I met a few that's got their head on, they get wiped up before they're 25.
Listen,
the ones that got that
stay,
mouth,
they're not going to stay
I'm
quiet.
I'm trying to tell you.
Listen, we're not going to stay quiet.
My wife is not a big woman there in Alabama, but she got one of them cutting tongues that you was talking about. Instead of fighting, I learned how to run real quick.
Run.
No, about a woman. A woman. Hold on now. One thing about women, they'll take it there, and then when you go there and want to go full speed, then they, I'm a woman. Don't, why are you coming at me like that? Like, if they say something real dirty to you, and you say, that's how I come, and you come back at them, they start, they about to cry. They about to
that's
cry.
Right.
That's how it works. That's how it works.
That's right. That's how it works.
Hey, I got to apologize too, because I thought she was old. I thought she was about 6 foot, but
no.
She's not. She's only 5'10" and weighed 166 pounds
she's
when she was 21. I see that. I apologize.
Cause, hey, Jeff.
You
don't watch MMA, but there's a chick there. She's even smaller than that, and she'll take Layla Ali to the woodshed. Her name is Ronda Rousey.
Wow.
Google
Google that name. She whooped this chick this weekend, knocked her out in 16 seconds.
Dang.
And she's about 5'6", 140. And there's a whole bunch of dudes that wouldn't mess with that girl.
I go to the gym. I go to a gym, and there's a lot of women in there. I wouldn't play with them. Mm-mm. And they're little girls.
Well,
I consider myself to be a big girl. I ain't playing around with that. No.
Yeah, I see her pummeling somebody on here right now.
Some of those strong women y'all see on that show, if y'all were to get them in the weight room, they probably benching 185. I mean, the strongest ones.
You would be surprised. These women, they tone their bodies like men do, more so. And what men fail to realize, just because women don't have that same muscle tone as men, doesn't mean we're weak. We are somewhat swifter. We'll take y'all out.
See, the thing is about strength, what people don't realize, you could go in the weight room and squat and lift something and have all the strength in the world. When can you access that strength? It's just like when I used to leap. I knew guys that could squat more than me and weighed the same much as I did, but they couldn't jump as high because I knew how to access it. Like, it's just like that in fighting. Like, you could be stronger than a guy, but he knows how to access his muscles in the midst of a wrestle, when he's wrestling or when he's throwing a punch. Can you put some power behind that punch and knock
a
guy out?
And that's what I'm saying about some of these women. Some of these women, they really have that's what they do. And so, and you talk about people, women in the hood, women, you got to know who you're playing with.
Well, here's the thing, women, people think this, that women are necessarily weaker than men. That is not so.
Not at all.
And I go back to creation itself to prove my point that, here you had the man made. And God made, that's theological. If he made a helpmeet for that man, that means that helpmeet could not be a weak person, because you got this man that has done everything. He's named everything. He's put everything in order. He's dressing and keeping the garden. And then he brings a woman. The woman's supposed to help him with running the earth. She can't be weak. If you got a weak woman, you're not in a good place.
Yeah,
not
but
in a good
the
place.
Problem, Jeff. If you have too many women, basically, can be responsible for the action or the choices he makes, then you have a weak woman. And too many women do. Too many women go do the crying thing, do the this and that. Oh, I'm
that's
a woman.
Who women are.
That's who
women are, Stanley. Okay.
I deplore that. That's us men who's accepting that, because a woman has no problem telling us, you better take your responsibility. You better go get that money. You better do this. You better do that. But when we turn around,
don't
you
get
better
that money.
Straight up, it's a tough attitude. You better lose the weight. You better do this. That she'll say, oh, I'm a lady. You're not supposed to say that to me.
Stanley.
You can't have it both
listen.
Ways.
Yeah, you can have it both ways.
We need to stop that. We shouldn't demand something that we're not going to get.
No, what I'm saying is this. You know, a couple is exactly that, is a couple. There is a working relationship between two people.
But I'm talking about just in general. Just in general, men take women for granted, and women take themselves for granted. And they take,
yeah,
they
what,
take their, I mean, we expect more. We expect, just like I said about a woman hitting. A woman will slap a man,
exactly,
but get mad if he hits her back.
Exactly.
You can't hit a man, and then think, well, I can. Well, you can't hit me back. I mean, that you should never lay a hand on another person.
Well,
but come on now, you know we do it.
Of course
we
do it.
We'll jump on a man in a minute, and then get mad when he jumped back.
Of course you do.
But we'll say something to a man, hurt him to the core. But when you guys come back, we know we get all upset.
Who's making all that noise? Is that you, Pionki? Let's see. Nope.
And,
Pionki.
And so that's what I'm saying. I just found it to be, I was looking at this, and I looked like a double standard. And I put it out there. because there is a double standard with some things, and we need to be, we need to recognize, we need to cut some of this out because it's not good for our future.
Well, I mean, that's interpersonal relationship. What you going to do? What you going to do with that?
What you going to do? One, get educated so that you don't do that. There's a better way to skin a cat. Just like I said about you, we were talking about stepping on shoes and being a thug. You step on my, just because you step on my foot, I'm not going to pull out my knife and cut you today.
Well,
but don't come to my shop and ask me to shine your shoes because you might not have a foot when you get done.
Wait a minute. I can't find who's making that noise.
I don't know.
But anyway, now, Stanley, women are what they are, and you, and the skill of a man is to recognize who the woman is. And so, yeah, he can. Why can't he? It's
his. Y'all ain't done it yet. Y'all ain't
well,
done,
no,
y'all
that's
never
not
done
true.
That.
That's not true.
Y'all ain't never
oh
done that.
Oh, my God. Then why do you have pimps? Huh?
Huh?
Why do you have pimps?
The reason why
P-I-M-P-S-S.
The reason why you have a pimp is because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why you got a pimp. Hey, who is that? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Who is that?
I don't know. I muted every line.
Oh, there's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was Larry, no?
That could have been Larry. And I'm just saying, we've misaligned ourselves drastically,
mm-hmm.
and with the misalignment and the double standard, and women need to understand they can't play in this game and start throwing darts and or start throwing names and slapping and hitting and beating up people. And making fun, and then when it comes back and comes our way, then there's something wrong with it. And that's all I was saying. That was the gist of where I was going with it.
Well, I understand.
Because it was
saying.
The woman. I mean, the guy was getting whipped with a belt, with baby with baby oil on the floor, and he was trying to stand up. He was a big guy. She was a little guy, and she had this belt, and she was wearing his hide out. Like, and the baby oil wouldn't let him stand on his own 2 feet and come after because he couldn't get through the floor. I had to help that. Because we don't
know what
I'm mad about us showing that.
I know.
What is that,
Jack? Listen. Yeah, because I'm trying to tell you, we got to go to break. We'll be right back because it's hard out here being a pimp. Ted Howard. Be right back.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized.
Hello.
I'm here. Hello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the biggest problem when it comes to relationship. Women take no responsibility. None.
You know that's not true, Stanley. They take all responsibility.
Oh, please, tell me. Trust me. I got almost traumatized when my ex-girlfriend almost killed herself because I told her you need to take care of your health. And I was all this and that and broke up with her because of that. No responsibility. She blames it all on me. I'm the bad guy here. I'm the asshole. I'm the everything. But I'm the one who sold up to her place and fucking saved her life. But I'm just still the asshole.
You know how that works, man.
You know?
You know how that
I don't,
works.
Man,
no matter
man,
how,
as men, we
no
should have no
right
standard.
You are,
we should just
wrong.
Take it what she wants. As men, we should have no standard. We should just take what they want. Okay, oh, you want that? Okay, fine. Women can have all the standard in the world.
It's hypocrisy, yeah. Though. I mean, it's a double standard when it comes to certain things. They want all the power and strength that men got, but don't want the responsibility of when something go wrong.
Exactly.
You ain't man. You wasn't the man. You're supposed to take care of your responsibility. Like, whoa, well, you the one beating your chest like a man, running around trying to act like a man, but then when it comes time for somebody to take blame, it's the man's fault.
Oh, hey, it's always your fault. Yeah. So is your phone.
Well, the way my mom told me back in the day, she said, now, here's the thing. You don't go around beating on no women, but you don't let no woman beat you. You protect yourself.
Well, how you going to do that?
Well,
how you going to do that when you got a wild animal coming at you, a strong wild boar coming at you swinging full speed, and you bagging up? What you going to do? Eventually, you're going to have to tag her just to get her back off.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the way to do that. I have four older sisters, and there was a thing I used to do to get them off of me, and it usually works. I wouldn't beat them, but usually one well-placed smack in the right place will kind of take care of them.
Dodging bullets every day. Niggas hate no because I got holes on the tray. But I gotta stay paid, gotta stay above water. Couldn't keep up with my hoes.
Hustle and flow. Hard out here being a pimp. Mornings with Tracy and friends. We're winding up the day into the last segment. And we're talking about a number of things and that's going on in the news. And we were talking about relationships and men beating women and women beating men and yeah, whatever. Anyway, so but we want to hear from you, Bianca. You're not saying nothing. What's going on, man? Bianca, okay, he's out to working. I'll leave him off. And okay, we got 617, if you want to get in, just hit that 1 on your dial. I know you want to talk, and so we'll see what's going on. But anyway, we're still with this, I guess, a flux that we're in as a country, where people aren't working together, they're not doing things together, and this is a design, and I don't know who exactly designed it. I'm not sure, but I'll say it like this. It's working well. It's doing what it's set out to do because our country is running amok. Your economy is not back. I don't care whether they added 200 and something thousand jobs. You have 93 million people not working. So that means the system is not working. It's not working. Now, I'm not blaming it on the president. I certainly think he's part of the whole cabal, and whoever's pulling his strings is causing him to keep the cabal up and going while we have the country being flooded and overrun in certain areas by the people coming up from Central America, supposedly because they're escaping the violence down in their country. Well, once again, I think that's quite funny, seeing that the kids in Chicago can't escape to anywhere. And there's a lot of violence going on in Chicago with 14 people being killed and 82 being wounded over the weekend. What does that tell you? What does that say? You have a police force that obviously cannot handle it. Obviously. But anyway, if you want to talk, 212, you're in. 843, South Carolina, you're there. Alabama, you're in. Stanley, you're still in. What's the answer? And once again, people make too much of a deal about Democrat-Republican. That's the other thing. They're making this deal, and they're not making any sense in why somebody won't try to make a deal with one or the other. I don't care who's in office. I don't care who is in office. I'm going to deal with whoever's there and try to get the things that I want to get to do the things that I want to do. You're in there.
Hey, peace to you. How you feeling today?
Peace. How you doing, sis?
I am doing great. I'm Triple Dark, by the way. Thank you for opening my mic.
Okay, Triple Dark.
I saw you guys on Blog Talk. One of my subscribers listened to one of your shows, so I said, hey, let me see what this is about. And I'm so glad that you're talking about, you know, not being partisan and that you're talking about the importance of what about these children. Children aren't safe in Chicago and some of the inner city parts of Detroit. It's also happening here in Boston. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I used to be a part of a youth anti-gang violence prevention initiative. And one of the things that I discovered was you got to actually talk to the children and find out what the hell, you know. And I had a little bit in because I was about 10 years ago. I was 19 at the time myself. And so when I talked with them, what they shared with me was they had nothing going on in their neighborhoods. Nobody believed in them. All they had was to defend their honor and their neighborhood. So their idea of defense is very bloody. It's very brutal. It's not in any way, shape, or form going to build, sustain, and grow something that's going to help them in their community. Now, something I tried to get across to them was you're killing each other over city and street blocks that you don't even own. How do we get you to value the cost of the bloodshed more than the title of I Rock the Block? And it's difficult when nobody, when the children don't feel like anyone believes in them or cares about them, it becomes very difficult to get them to believe in themselves and to care about themselves. So if I can posit a theory, I really think it's the reinvestment of black people everywhere into the communities. You know, when my father was a little boy, he couldn't act up across the street two doors down at Miss Susie. She would whip his black behind, call his mama, and he went home without his ass whipped by mama, too, okay?
Wait, Triple Dot. Triple Dot.
Yes.
We are on terrestrial radio. You can't say stuff like that.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Jeff.
Hold on,
Eric. You're coming up now.
My apologies.
That's okay. Hold on, Triple Dot. Go ahead, Eric.
I mean, it's pretty sad that every street in America named after Martin Luther King is usually the worst street in that city.
By design. I understand something. You made the point, and you said that if you acted up down the street, such and such would whip your behind, in other words, and then send you home, and you're going to get one then. Right.
Yep.
And then you're going
to
get another one. Well, by law,
you can't even speak to the children.
That's what I'm saying. By law, you can't even touch a child. So now, with that in, what do you think that's for? People don't understand that there's a group called the progressives.
Mm-hmm.
And the progressives make sure that these laws get in place. They use things like the Civil Liberties Union and some of these other things who have done some good in some instances. But at the same time, let's put it like this. Decon is 98% good corn. But it's 2% strychnine. And guess what? The strychnine is what kills you. Well, the things that the Civil Liberties Union have done, they've destroyed your ability to discipline your child. And now you're out of control, and now they're replacing black people with Central American people and south of the border people. Chinese are pouring over the border. Irishmen are pouring over the border. Everybody's pouring over the border, and the people in the United States are being pushed out, at least the poor ones are, and pushed out and replaced, just like they did in Harlem. Think about Harlem. Harlem has been totally redone. It's a good thing that what's my man that just won his election for re-election up there? Why can't I think of his name? Anyway, he's not going to be there long, and he better be glad he's 80 something years old, because he'll never get elected to Congress again, because there's too many Hispanics there in the South Bronx, and he's not going to win the next time. Hmm. So, you got to think. Now, I am a conservative. I'm moderately conservative, but I'm a conservative. My thought is I'd rather be free than to get – I'd rather get a paycheck than to get a government check. That's my feeling. I'd rather be paid for what I do by my business, by working for somebody, or however it's done. I'd like to be free to start a business. I want to be free to do that. They're making it harder and harder. They're making more and more things messed up for us to survive in this United States. So what you're going to do? You have to change this dynamic. Poor people in America are being sold. They're sold for their votes. They're sold for everything that they're doing. Sold. So now, you think you're going to get something for your vote, but you didn't make any deal with the person that was running for office that you're going to vote for, and guess what happens? Nothing.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're there. You're there. South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
You're in there.
Hi, y'all. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. No. I swapped over from another phone call.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. But anyway, good afternoon, everybody.
They got you. It's not afternoon yet, but we're almost there. I got to go when it's afternoon. But this is really a mess out here. And then the people that want to help keep things from being a certain way are castigated because they're not on the side of the people that want to throw government. Listen. For all the money, the money that they give you, which is very little money that they give you in government programs, there's not enough to go around. But what's so crazy is 70 cents of every dollar given out to the poor is eaten up by the people that give out the money. They're paying their salaries. What sense does that make? Does anybody tell me that that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, being the poor, it's a commodity. I hate to say it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. There's no doubt about it. They're sold every election day. That's why you got all this. They're trying to disenfranchise your votes. In Ohio, it's so stupid. The NAACP is pushing for more hours of voting in Ohio. They already have almost 30 days of voting here.
Yeah, you can vote. You can vote a month up in advance. I mean, I don't get it.
Because you know why? Because they sometimes need a time to herd the people to the polls. They have to make up lies or make up some type of a danger point for these people to get up and run out and go to the polls. That's why they're doing it. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So I don't understand. And I'm not in that crowd. And because I'm not in the crowd, they're mad at me like I've really done something or hurt somebody or want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. I want all of us to do a lot better. Triple dot, you're back in the air. Oh, Lord have mercy. No, you're not. Hold on. Triple dot,
okay.
You're back in the air. Mm-hmm.
Hey, peace. You know, something that I've experienced is, we often have a problem with receiving the truth if it doesn't make us feel good. So if we don't know for a fact that you're like, we're good friends and we can skip through the daisies holding hands together, a lot of people can't process what you're saying. Also, if you're not their ideation of God or what it means to be a good person, how you articulate yourself, all of these things end up, you know, people are so sensitive and emotional about certain words or catchphrases or ideas, it ends up causing more division than anything. And we're not a monolith. We're not all going to agree, but can't we agree to disagree and still get the work done?
Absolutely. You're right. But we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back here in a few minutes. Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We'll be right back.
Hello, anybody there?
It was my understanding that he said he was taking a break.
Yeah, he leaves the mic open on the breaks.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm
had
here.
No idea.
Is my mic
okay.
open? Hello?
But yeah, it gets me about how in Chicago they're talking about, you know, they want to stricter gun laws. I mean, they have the strictest gun laws in the country. What more can you do besides change people's hearts and minds? That's where you get the focus needs to be.
I'm not really shocked by what's happening in the Midwest. The Wild West has always been reputed to be this way. I think that we have forgotten that and that that energy kind of still lingers in people's minds or hearts. And so I would agree with you that if we change the hearts and we change the minds, everyone their own way, their own self, that's one way to do it. It's not, you know, stricter gun laws. It's responsibility. And, you know, it's going to have to be if people don't feel safe. They're going to do things that make them think that they're safer or make them feel better about their lack of safety. And it's not always the best thing.
Right. Because when I was growing up, between my dads and my grandfathers and my uncles, and they had enough guns laying around for militia. But me and my sisters never thought about doing anything with them guns, you know?
Right, right, right. Same in my family. My father's and his brothers and everyone used to go hunting and shooting and all kinds of stuff. It was normal. It wasn't a foreign thing.
Exactly. All my friends had BB guns.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah,
we can hear it.
Oh,
but
hey,
the thing about that, Alabama, I think that's a regional thing, though. I mean, you know, we down here, I'm in South Carolina, you're in Alabama. And it's nothing for us to, you know, go out and go in the woods and hunt squirrels and rabbit and stuff like that. But folks up north, they have no clue, seems like. And they have a whole different outlook on things and think that if you have a gun, if you want to go hunt, you're archaic or
well, that's
or
the
backwoods.
Big city people. That's the big city people in South Carolina because all my friends up north hunt and they eat what they kill. You know, the guys who work construction, the blue-collar type people, understand hunting what it is, and they're akin to the South in that. I have to laugh, though, because my generation was the first generation to go into the streets to protest war and violence in the 60s, and we were the generation raised on a constant diet of World War II movies and cowboy Indian movies and everybody shooting and carrying guns and blowing stuff up. and we grew up to be the peace generation.
So yeah.
But we also had to go to church on Sunday too. And I agree with Triple Dot there that yeah, that's what it's all about. It's our hearts were in the right place.
Oh yeah, you look at Bugs Bunny and the Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, exactly. And Roadrunner and the Three Stooges. And,
yeah.
Mr. Grover Washington Jr., the late, great Mr. Grover Washington Jr., my friend. And we're back here, Mornings with Tracy and Friends. We're wrapping up the day, and we had Triple Dot come in. Triple Dot, do you have a show of your own?
I do, thank you. I run the Angry Divas radio show, and I also do After Dark with Triple Dot.
Oh, wow, that's all right. That's all right, because you know, we're going to be expanding later ourselves and hope to build some bigger followings and some things. We get into a lot of things here, and we get pretty risque, and we're pretty upfront about dealing with politics and race in America, and not to hurt anybody, but to enlighten and to try to get people to come to a consensus of understanding. And but you know, not a lot of people just like to have the divisiveness of argument, you know, to keep themselves, keep themselves in business. But that's not what we do here. But Alabama, you are still there, and not so blind. You're in the air.
I was trying to talk. I couldn't hear you. It's almost like nobody couldn't hear me. Either that or he just real rude.
Oh, maybe they didn't hear you. But you were open. I had you open. But Stanley, you're still there as well. Not so blind. What you got to say today? Are you just listening? Wow. South Carolina? Okay. All right. Well, our callers will call in and stay on hold because they do work. We do it.
Or
I have Fialki. Beg pardon?
I said self-work.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, you gotta do what you do. The world is a ghetto. Now you're from Boston area, right?
Yes, sir, Boston.
Now,
I got family in Roxbury.
Oh, Dorchester, the Savin
exactly
Hill area.
I know exactly where Dorchester is. Matter of fact, I used to get off the train at Fields Corner.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And walk up the
best
street.
Best food in the area.
Is Bombardier still there?
I don't think so. That doesn't even sound familiar.
Oh, okay. That was a bakery there. I mean, that was a really good.
Yeah, all the good bakeries are closed now. Ugh.
Oh,
it's a
wow.
Sad thing now. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Now, I was in Boston years and years and years ago. I was stationed up at Pease Air Force Base, New Hampshire. So
okay.
We used to come down to Boston and hang out a lot, especially when they had was a club called Paul's Mall or something down there. They used to have all the jazz.
I wouldn't even be able to verify, y'all. I'm a young thunderhead.
I hear you. Now are you, what is your nationality, just for reference?
African-American.
You are African. Okay, very well. Very well. And, you know, it wouldn't have made a difference. I'm just for reference. So I welcome you to the show and hope you call back sometime when we get a little hotter in some of the things we're talking about. Because it gets pretty blinding here sometimes, and a lot of things that go on that we point out, and people take things personally.
Mm-hmm.
They take it like this: if you say something about the person they voted for, and it's true, they still get upset that you pointed it out.
sadness. It's all based on – that's that denial and emotional stuff that people get caught up in with those knee-jerk reactions. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's a conversation, the key word, the root word is conversion. And if you can't be converted, at least be firm on your position and don't walk away with hurt feelings.
Right, right. Now, I'm trying to see whether they – whether. Uh-oh. Well, Tracy's going to be very happy about this. I'm happy about it, too. But it doesn't have anything to do with most of our callers, because our callers in this area are not from the RNC, but the RNC is coming to Cleveland, Ohio, for the 2016 convention. So that did work. Tracy was up there with the crew to go around Cleveland and to see what was going to happen. And she became a Cleveland Browns fan at that day as well, which I was glad for, because I was working with a center. She was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Okay, who's beeping on me here? But anyway, now when I was there up there in the Boston area, it was very racially charged at that particular time. Has that subsided some in the area, and is there more of a mixing of the people up there, or what?
May I ask first what time period you're referencing, you coming to Boston?
Oh, 78 I was there.
Yeah, that makes sense. So about through 78 to maybe about 86, 87-ish, it was very hot in that sense. There still
yes.
are some racial tensions by way of, you know, profiling, if you go into a store kind of thing. But for the most part, it is a very diverse city, but it's always been. And it's always been astounding to me how some place with so many different people from all over the friggin' world can just be this
yeah.
way. But it happens. It's human nature. And, yes, it is still around. I'm noticing a lot more tolerance toward the gay and lesbian community, but there still are a lot of racial issues I see.
Right.
When I was there, the first time I was there was in 77. And I used to go back every year, but the one year that my dad got nervous was I had a friend of mine that was also in the Marine Corps, and when I got to Boston, he said to give him a call because he was going to be on leave at the same time, and he took me down to Southie and showed me around in Southie, which was my dad kind of got nervous because
we
were both in uniform and. You know, dress blues, you know. So he took me to see his friends. Now, there were a couple of guys, man. They look a little mafioso, but they had a lot of respect for the uniform.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they didn't have respect for the color, they respected the uniform. And I think that was kind of one of those experiences, like when I tell people, yeah, I spent some time in South Boston, they look at me like, where are your scars at, man?
Terrible.
Well, I just know that I remember that they were that they had actually people that were sniping at people every now and then down there in Boston. I don't know what part.
Yeah.
But
that was during the busing thing, I think. Yeah. That was kind of the busing controversy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I wasn't aware that much of politics that way, you know, in other areas, because I wasn't a talk radio guy in those times. But as time went on, I started identifying with that area, and I said, this area is really deep. It's really different. And if you ask me, New England itself is just like. No place else on the planet.
Yes.
And I'm talking about
true.
Up through Maine,
mm-hmm.
New Hampshire, down to Boston, all those areas. They were just sort of mystically dark. And I'm sorry. For a person that got lost in Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween night, I mean, I kind kind of noticed it, you know.
Yeah.
I went to sleep one night, listened to the radio. In fact, the first night I was in New Hampshire, I set up my stereo and went to sleep a Friday night and woke up Saturday morning and they had the Witch Report on.
Yes.
It was in the fall. And I said, is this stuff really real up here? Is this what it is? And I didn't know. I mean, it was all new to me. But mm-hmm. but it just seemed to be very mystical. And of course, that's where I had to cross over and got lost was on the Mystic Bridge. So,
yeah.
You know.
It is very mystical here. It's very, I call it magical, too. I have had some very interesting experiences myself. So that's why I'm laughing. You said Salem. I'm cracking up.
Yeah.
We don't even have time for the stories I got, but I'm so glad you shared that. It's like no place else in the country.
Yeah, it was different. It was very strange. I had bittersweet time there, so I can't say that I had a bad time because I didn't. I had a great time. Everywhere I went in the service, though, I mean, but I'm like that. I'm going to make the best of wherever I find myself, you know. And
yes.
And so I'm a fun loving person, so I had fun. but we came to Boston all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to U of H. Down there. University down there and party at times too. It's right there in Boston. But
UMass
I
Boston?
Can't. Yes.
Yes. Hey, did you guys ever catch the Sky Cap before it closed in Roxbury?
No,
old
I didn't know anything
club.
About it.
Oh, talk about right on Warren Ave. An old school dance club. They used to have live music. My mom and dad met there. You know, I mean, it's like one of those old school, old time Boston memories that I wish everybody who's ever been through here could have experienced.
Now this is an experience that I have up there now. We went to it was a very big dance floor.
It was, yes. Big,
okay.
Wide open space.
Yes, this could have been that. I'm not. Listen, me and my posse of guys, there's like 6-7 of us. We come down there and we go to this club. I don't know what it was called, but it was very similar to what you're describing. So there's this, all these girls, these really pretty, beautiful women out there dancing.
Boston
so we're going to get out there and we're going to start dancing with them.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they dance away from us. So I say, what? Okay, and so we start dancing up by them again, you know, trying to get, you know, pair them off. And they kind of giggle and they dance away from us. The next thing I know, there's this woman over there in the corner, and she kind of snaps her finger, and they all walk over to him, and they all are, like, huddled together like as couples and stuff. And I said, I cannot believe this. I cannot. So is lesbianism, like, a huge thing there or what?
Oh, wow. Well, given your date and time of what you're referencing here, I would not have expected that. But now, oh, yes. Lesbian,
oh my God.
Gay, it's a big, I mean, Massachusetts is one of the first states that legalized gay marriage. So we do have a very high population of gay and lesbian folks here of all races, all walks.
Wow. Bianca, I don't know how you called in twice, but we're getting ready to go. Triple Dot, I appreciate you being on with us because we're getting ready to go pay some bills and get out the way. But,
go ahead. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll call back again. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And
on
Morning with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We'll be back tomorrow. Tracy will be back here in the morning. And 9 o'clock, same time, same bat station. And we'll see you then, as this is getting ready to jump, I hope, now. But anyway, we'll be okay if it doesn't. But anyway, thank you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Like that's what you want to do. Here come back. This and that.
Anybody here, or are they all gone? Hello?
I guess everybody gone.
Yeah, there's somebody got something on hold. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm I had one of those revelations, man. I was talking to my brother Friday, man, and I was showing him this scalp pigmentation stuff, man, and we just started brainstorming like we usually do. Uh-huh. And I'm about to get into that business. I think it's a viable option. You can make a substantial amount of money in a matter of hours. It's not really hard to do.
No, and I'm looking. Matter of fact, it's funny because in the last few days, I just got tired of everybody complaining and stuff about, you know, a lot of people come on this line and complain about how downtrodden they are and how victimized they are and stuff. And man, I just cannot believe how like the revelations I have had in the last week. There are so many people out there just making money in this economy, doing all kinds of stuff. You just got to find something to do. And you know, my question is, and the question I'm going to start asking these people when they come on the line and they're telling us how miserable their life is, nobody said you were supposed to make it out 40 hours a week. I don't know where that idea came from. And beyond that, the people who are telling you that everything's a big mess, my question is very simply this. How many 12 to 14-hour days have they strung together in the last 30 days working on something they were excited about and wanted to do? Because that's what it comes down to. Find something you like to do and just do it to excess, and you'll be okay. You know? Put your shoulder down and come up for air 2 miles down the road, and you realize you're going to be in a better place just because you just hunkered down and got something going. But to stand there and say, this don't work, that don't work, that don't work, I read this, I heard this on the news, none of that has anything to do with anybody's life unless they're totally paralyzed into inaction. But came out with the report now on college kids. There's almost no unemployment with college kids who went into math, science, or any of the engineering or technology.
Common sense.
And the average college graduate in any one of those fields starts out at $72,000 a year.
A shocker.
Yeah. Isn't that something? and then you got all these other college kids who are unemployed and got hundreds of thousands of dollars it's over $1 trillion of student loan debt, and they can't pay it, and they're living in their mother's basement still, and they're 26 years old. Well, what the heck did they go to school for? You know, they probably went to school for something that you couldn't get a job in.
Psychology.
Or social work or you know, poetry.
I know someone in social work.
Yeah.
They have not hit the $40,000 plateau, has been working for over 10 years now and has not hit $40,000 a year.
Exactly. And go to trade school, and in a year learn even basic computer repair. And, man, there are places that will hire you in a heartbeat and start you at like, you know, $15 to $18 an hour. Well, that's, you know, spend $8,000 to get a training course that you can get federally subsidized, by the way, because it would count if it's an accredited school. And to start out a job at $35,000, $40,000 a year, your first year out of school beats going to school for 4 years, coming out $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 in debt, and then stay unemployment for 4 years, you know?
Well, I mean, also you have a lot of people that are making money in business right now, like starting small businesses that don't need banks. You don't need the bank to fund them. That's the key to me. Like, I think we should on small, you know, not even brick and mortar. I mean, kitchen table ideas. Those are the ideas that may generate only a couple of $1,000s a month, but you got to look at a spare time job bringing in $2,000-$3,000 a month while you working, making another $6,000, $5,000, $3,000, whatever.
Yeah,
it's gonna work wonders.
In 1960, less than one person out of 1,000 people in the United States were millionaires. The statistic for 2012, based on income tax returns, okay, we don't have 2013 done yet for some reason, but 2012, based on income tax returns, there were 8.99 million households in the United States that reported a net worth of $1 million or more. That comes down to being like, if you do the math, that's a household. Now,
yeah,
the average
that's
household
not a person
in the United States is 3.8 people. So we're talking
We're talking 8%. 36 million people. So we're talking about 9% or 8% of the entire population of the United States. So
yes.
What's this nonsense about the 1%ers are the only ones getting rich? Can't argue both ways, because the people who support President Obama are also the ones telling you how bad and miserable their life is. Well, excuse me, then this president has done one hell of a job if one person out of every 8 or 9 lives in a household that's worth $1 million.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty high, actually.
Yeah, there's a blog site of all kinds of statistics, and they did the 50 things that people keep saying are wrong. You know that in the last 50 years, world hunger is famine in the world is 1/10 less people than it was. It's only 1/10 of the people in famine in the world that were 50 years ago. We've made progress, and the world's a bigger place now. And there's still fewer people hungry in the world today than there were 50 years ago.
Well, I think a lot of these countries decided to get away from their socialist communist government, and now they're jumping in India. You've got almost 450,000 people in China that are entrenched in becoming millionaires.
Right.
It's changing.
In the last 30 years, you know, India's a billion people. In the last 30 years, 200 million people in India, just in the last 30 years, by adopting the policies you're talking about, in the last 30 years, 200 million people in India have moved up to the middle class, what you would call middle class.
Yeah.
200 million.
I work with those people every day in IT. I work with them in IT every day. A lot of Indians come. They don't even care about America like that. They used to want to come here. They're like, look, we can go back to India and live just as good now. We don't have to stay in America.
See, and when I was in college, when India would send engineering students over here, they did everything they could when they graduated to fight to stay here because they didn't want to go back to India, even though the government paid for their education. They didn't want to go back because there's nothing there for us. Now you're saying it's the opposite. Yeah, they took a survey in the world. They surveyed 400 million people on this survey worldwide. Who wants to come to America? You know, where do you want to go from leaving your country? 140 million, and I don't remember exactly, it was like 138 million something, said they want to come to the United States. Only 37 million said they wanted to go to England, and like 28 million wanted to go to France, and less, so some number between those two was who wanted to go to Canada. And beyond that, they didn't want to go anywhere else in the world except in the countries like India. And now China, has taken 400 million people and in the last 25 years moved them up into middle class, what we would call middle class. The world is getting better. All we got to do is stop killing each other over stupid shit. Oh, excuse me, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, Africa is actually the fastest growing continent. So yeah. I was actually talking to Michigan a while ago. He's doing some business over there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity in Africa to really...
Yeah.
There's some money. Like, those people don't have stuff that we would think everybody got, everybody has this. They don't have it. They're just not getting it. And there's an opportunity to be the middleman between them and, say, the Chinese, or there are people coming from China broke, and in 5-10 years, they multimillionaires over there in Africa. It's you just got to be willing to stamp your passport and take a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I truly believe that's the law of the thing. No, first step, you have to take responsibility if you want to own up things. If you don't even take responsibility, don't own up a business, please. If you can't even take responsibility of your life, don't own up a business. Number two, after taking responsibility, is you got to look at yourself and say, what is your worth?
Yeah.
What can you bring in this world?
Exactly.
What is the stuff? What is your passion about? Oh, I'm passionate about health. I'm passionate about this. Okay, fine. You're passionate about that.
Yeah.
Third of all, go get the people who've done the money. Stop trying to basically do something that, oh, I'm going to get the new invention. And no, don't get the new invention. Don't try to change the route. If everybody's doing this way to get business or money, don't try to get something new to get money. Do the same route that everybody's doing and get a percentage of that. The industry of health, and if I go to my industry, which is weight loss, the industry is worth $13.8 billion. I don't want the $13.8 billion. I just need to have 0.00000, just a small fraction.
Go get the studies. Go get the they go to the people who've done the work. Don't be impressed with the people who've done nothing.
Speak for yourself, Stella. I want 15-20% of that.
You're right.
Speak for yourself on that.
100% right. You know, when you do that personal, you know, you got to just say to some of these people, look, you keep talking about your wanting. You got to look at what you have now and what are you willing to give up to get what you want. And since most of them don't have nothing, well, what they all got is they all got time. The richest man in the world and the poorest man in the world all have 24 hours a day and not 1 second more or less. And these people come on this line day after day after day and hang here for hours. Well, maybe that would be a good time to go read a book on something and learn something and improve yourself.
I agree.
I don't want to destroy Tracy's show. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it.
Quite frankly, though, hold on, Mike. That's a blind Mike. This is one thing I've noticed. You can just literally sit on YouTube and videos and the internet and learn about stuff and just go. I learn more hands-on than reading a book, actually. I'm not really a gifted book reader. I read, but I'm more of a – I have to do something. So the way it's set up like that course I found out, I saw some guys on the internet charging $1,500, $2,000, $3,000. 4 hours later, they're finished. And the guy's walking out, and he gave him $1,500 just to do some stuff to his head.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting like, you mean to tell me they're paying $2,000 just for that? They're doing two or three heads a day?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, ain't no way in hell. Ain't no way I'm going to sit, you know. So when I saw that, I said, yeah, I told my brother, we about to go for it. So it's like, to me, it's opportunity. And the training is not even in America. I got to actually go to Vancouver to get trained.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's another school in London, which I thought about going there.
Yeah,
but it will be more expensive. When I can just go to Seattle and just drive over to Vancouver, it won't be a big deal.
Well, if you promise to bring me back one of the hot English girls that I'm always hearing about, you know, then I'll pay for your trip.
It's funny you say that because I've been on the internet. They got these little YouTube channels with these ladies, man. These ladies are ridiculous. Like a lot of them in London. They got these YouTube channels. They're making these videos about makeup and hair and.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this girl is ridiculous. Like, she's real. And there's a bunch of them in London. I guess it's a culture over there, a subculture,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
they spend a lot of time being beautiful. So,
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Man, I'm talking about there's a bunch of them over there. And they,
yeah.
you know, they say, I'm going to clubs, so and so. I'm like, okay, I need to hop this plane, go see what's up.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. But no, it's like, my heart, you know, there's times I sound like I'm upset with some of these people. I'm upset for them. I just believe so strongly in the ability of the average human being that I just don't want to hear all this self-defeatist, woe-is-me victimization crap that these people put themselves through. I mean, if you really want to be kind to some of these people, we should just make them a custom-made suit with six handles already sewn in so they can just get on with the dying and we can just pick them up and carry them off and bury them.
It's very frustrating when you see the potential of somebody and you see it, and that person doesn't even see her own potential.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Very mad.
Yeah.
And everybody has...
They say the richest place on earth is the graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
That's where all the multi-million-dollar ideas ended up that nobody took action
on. Yeah, unrealized potential. Unrealized potential is in the graveyard.
Exactly.
Yeah,
a lot of people have that. It's the whole, it's the people you hang out with. Tell me who you hang out with, I'll tell you what kind of person you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the whole thing. Stop, don't listen at the...
Wait a minute, let me ask you guys something. What do you do when you're in an area where you don't have those people? Because I'm quite frankly, I don't have a lot of those people. I've sought people out here and there, I've got people, but it's hard to find people in your day-to-day sometimes, especially coming from the hood like I did, coming from where I came from, I don't have a lot of people I can contact that have had their hands on $100,000 or more in their bank account. Or I don't know that many people. I got people on the phone, per se, but not people that I can go get a beer with and talk to every other day or go shoot jumpers, play basketball with. I don't have a lot of those. So for me, when I hear that, I agree with you, but it's difficult in my mind to obtain that because, like, you know, Stanley, you're in New York. If you walk down the street, there's people everywhere got money. Montgomery, Alabama's not like that. Montgomery, Alabama,
does not have. I've come to Atlanta. I've met a lot of people, but we're not close like that. But I'm just saying. But the people I grew up with, that I, you know, went to school with, friends from basketball. Most of my friends come from playing basketball.
Okay, hang on.
Those are the people that got all that money.
Let me teach you $1 million worth of networking in three sentences here. Okay. Do you associate or affiliate with a church?
Yeah.
Good. Go talk to the pastor of your church and tell him you're looking for a mentor. Who in the parish is successful? And ask him to give you a letter of recommendation.
Yeah, that's one way.
I'm telling you right there. Now, that may not be the person you're looking for, but you know what? He knows somebody a notch or two bigger than him. And you start networking right there from your local church.
If you don't have a church,
it could be the community. If you're in a condo, go to the condo association, because usually those are movers and shakers that get on those kind of boards and stuff. Or go look up some local company, because you will find that the players in that company, the presidents and vice presidents of that company, belong to Kiwanis, they belong to the Shriners, they belong to all these fraternal organizations that do social stuff. Or the next time you see some charitable event going on, show up and start networking, collecting business cards.
Also, go to Google and try to go entrepreneur in your city, entrepreneur group or entrepreneur things like that, where they have meeting every week or every two weeks and everything.
That's a good one.
With your city that
Mastermind.
Tells you, go to those places. You want
Mastermind.
To see entrepreneur? Go to those places. Go to Toastmaster. That's another place. They have it in every city, in every place that I know. Toastmaster in your city. You just go there. And they'll send you the information, but you got to show up and everything. Try to find out where the people are. Hang out. And you'll find those people if you want to find them.
Yeah, that's something I've been – usually I would just go to a bookstore and just read and try to, you know, learn from different books and stuff. But
okay, books are
it's always good to sit there and talk to somebody.
Yeah, somebody wrote that book. Now you got to meet that person who wrote the book. You got to meet people who are capable of writing a book and are so busy being successful they don't have time to write the book. You got to actually start meeting some of the people. The greatest gift that I think the good Lord ever gave me – sorry, Stanley, didn't mean to offend you.
No, you're not offending me.
The greatest gift I ever received was the ability to network, to sit down and just ask questions. I was that petty little kid. It's how I learned my construction trade.
Some of the people I've run across that are successful are complete assholes. Now, not all of them, but the guy, when I say assholes, I mean there's this one guy.
Yeah.
I can't even get around. I've even heard him. Because he not only does he brag, but he has a talk. Like my brother does IT. My brother makes like, you know, almost 300, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is successful. He'll sit and say, man, you still doing IT? I mean, man, why would you? You're a real, real cunt, like a real asshole. And so me and my brother went to talk to him one day. He was doing a house. Yeah, man, you know, hey, it's just a quick $30,000. It's nothing. Like, that's how he talk, right? But the thing is, so I asked him, I said, okay, when the housing bubble burst, how did it affect you? It didn't affect me none. I mean, all my stuff was cash. And I'm sitting saying to myself, okay, well, you didn't have nobody to buy your stuff. A lot of your buyers was going through banks. So don't tell me you didn't get affected at all. Now you're just lying. You know,
yeah.
So I don't like fake people, and I find a lot of people in Atlanta are fake. But I will do that. I will go to the church and do that. I'm going to do that. But I do find that I don't like fake, and I see through fake people.
Right.
That's the type. I've ran into a lot of fake people. Got money. I ain't going to say the guy is completely broke because he does have some money.
Yeah.
But I think he over-exaggerates.
Right.
If you don't see a mentor in everything, tell them, what can I do? What could you? I'll do something for free for you, anything that you want for free. I just want to learn from you whatever you're good at.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay me. You don't have to do anything. I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
Whatever you want me to do, I just want to take 5 or 10 minutes of your time to learn that. Go to the people who are successful. Say, can I have 5, 10 minutes?
That's what, what's his face? The richest man in Babylon. That's what those people did with Arcad.
Yeah.
They were sitting and listening to him.
Yeah, they were sitting and having, I took out one of the wealthiest people in my town when I was 30-odd years old and wanted to know what the secret of all that was and everything else. Remember, I had shared the story that, I took myself from $29 in the bank to a real estate portfolio worth $4.3 million net in 37 months. Starting with no money, And I met with a guy who owned the Sheraton Hotel. He was the only one that he owned all kinds of land and businesses and everything all around the area. And the only reason he was the only one in the entire chain of Sheraton Hotels worldwide that owned all three parts. He owned the land, the building, and the franchise. Usually most people can buy one or two of those. They can't afford all three. And this was back in 1986, and he was net worth was somewhere like 80-some-odd million cash. This guy was on the board of director at the bank. He walked. I mean, I saw him one day. They opened the bank on a Friday afternoon after 5 o'clock for him because he needed to go in and get some cash for something he was doing on the weekend. They unlocked a bank, and it was one of the major national chains, you know. So I bought him lunch. I bought him lunch in his own restaurant at the Sheraton, and the best part about that was he refused to let me pay for it because he finally had somebody to sit down and talk to, and I asked him, I said, Joe, what's the secret of your success? Because I hear all kinds of things, and he said to me, drywall. And I said, drywall? He said, yep, drywall was the secret to my success. And I said, oh, you became a drywall contractor, you know, a drywall factory? He laughed and said, no, I was a plasterer when I was in my 20s. And in the middle 50s, he said, I saw jobs for real plasterer getting harder and harder to find because they had invented drywall. He said, I had to go find something different because I could see the day would come nobody wants plaster anymore. And he bought a piece of land that nobody wanted. This was a piece of land that was a crater. It was a bomb crater in our town. And he said, I bought that piece of land. People laughed at me. He said, we're sitting on that piece of land now. He said, what happened was, he said, when they built the interstate highway, I went to those guys who were hauling rock and gravel out of there and had to take it 30 miles to dump it and all the blasting. And I said, you know, just a mile and a half up the road, I have this big ditch. You could dump it there and get back and make more loads per day and make money. I don't care. And he said it was great because over the years people were just throwing trash and wrecked cars into the hole and everything else. So he let them fill his ditch up and leveled it. And that piece of land was where that $20 million Sheraton Hotel sat on when he was done. And he did all kinds of stuff like that. His eyes were constantly open for opportunities.
One of the things I find difficult is when you're the type of person that's like that, is you're going to get ridiculed or, you know, people are going to be Monday morning quarterbacking and say, well, you're always trying something. You don't stick nothing through to the end. It's not that. It's you're an opportunist. You see an opportunity. You go for it. You ride it to the end. But if you see something that is a loophole or something to get around that, like I still want to buy property and own a lot of property and own a conveyor car wash and own a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I see this as instead of doing IT and working all week for $2,000, I could work for 4 hours and make $2,000. Why would I go? You see what I'm saying? It's just common sense.
Yeah, but your IT job will connect you.
Yeah, because the cost about $6,000. So
right
I got to pay that. I got to say that.
Yeah, but here's how I see the dominoes falling in your life. You're going to go to your pastor or somebody, and you're going to ask who does he know, and you're going to start working the network, and you're going to find yourself from a guy, and the guy's going to say, well, what do you do now? And you're going to say, I do IT work. You do IT. What kind of IT? And I'm a troubleshooter. I do this, I do that. You know what? He'll say to me, well, tell me what you want, and tell me what you're looking for, because I have some questions for you. And you're going to find that you have more value, and you'll be paid more when the people who value you more also know you exist on this planet. Because that's what happened to me. You know, I worked for years for below minimum wage as a carpenter, just below minimum wage now. Not carpenter's wages, just to get a start being a blind carpenter and stuff. But it wasn't until a couple of the people I worked for put me into a network that all of a sudden I found myself just going up and up and up, and pretty soon, you know, my hourly rate went from $3 an hour to 5 to 7 to 12 in like less than 2 years' time. And that began to change my life. You know, I was affording, you know, that just put me. So just the fact that you have an IT skill, you might just rub elbows with some of these people and don't do a direct approach ever.
Don't say, do you need an IT person? The one thing I have found was the who do you know. It's the who do you know is worth millions of dollars perfecting the who do you know. Just say to them, listen, do you know anybody who's looking for a hardworking, energetic guy who's a real up-and-comer in the world of IT? He may then volunteer and say, yeah, I would be. And then you got to pretend you got to act surprised. That's the hard part.
This is the thing. This is the thing, though, with me, like,
yeah.
I know when I see meet people, they say, okay, yeah, you got to have a side hustle. To me, my IT is my hustle because my job is business. It's me trying to do this business. So
yeah.
To me, going to work Monday through Friday is to rake in money to then take it. And when I see an opportunity like this and these guys want $6,000, I got it. I can write out a check, catch a flight, go
right
up there, take
now,
the course,
now,
come back.
But you said something before about making the $2,000. These guys will put you in front of guys as a problem solver. You don't need a job then at that point. The guys making $2,000 in an hour are because they're more in the realm of consulting than they are in grunt being someone's employee. And you can get there. All you got to do is go fix problems, just like Think and Grow Rich says. Just go find a problem and fix it. You get into a network of people that would write you a check for $1,000 for an hour's work or a half day's work just because you went and fixed the problem for them. That's where you want to be.
That's when, and I, you know, the thing is, I was like, you know, I'll go all over the Southeast doing this. Just, I mean, if you don't pay me $2,000, you've lost, your hands were seated. You
yeah.
never thought you're going to walk around bald head the rest of your life. And this guy comes and bam, I put your hairline right back where it was when you were 22 years old. What would you pay for that? Because
yeah.
you got people paying $15,000 to do some hair grafting, and that mess don't work. They got
right.
a big scar in the back of their head. They going to call me because I can do it for $1,500 to $2,000, which you're paying somebody $15,000 for.
Right. And just do it to excess. Once you find something that you can make money at that's a niche like that, do it to excess. And then find places to put your money. Because the truth is the world is full of mice, and elephants know how to get fatter and bigger using mice. And mice are the people who are willing to scurry around and do all the lifting and moving and everything else, and the elephants are the guys who are cash heavy, and they know what to do. And you got to put yourself into that position.
You got to put yourself in the mentality that there's abundance when it comes to money, not scarcity. And 90% of society is in the scarcity thing. Instead of 90% saying, oh, I can't pay my bill and everything, why don't you find a way to pay your bill for the whole year? Oh, I can't do
that. I told my homeboy, I told him, I said, yeah, man, I'm about to start doing this hair thing. I mean, man, it might work, might not. I mean, depending on your – I'm sitting like, man, what dude you don't know ain't getting a haircut? Yeah, hey, man, put some of that Beijing. I want my line straight. They paying $20 to get their $25 if they get their hair done because they didn't log their hairline receding. Just to do the front line, I can charge $500 just for that. That might take me 30 minutes. Just for that little line across the front, I can do that. So I can make, I mean, you can make substantial amounts of money off this. Don't take what people think. I think people just, It's all on your perspective. Because I know I'm going to market it like it ain't never. I'm going to push it. I'm going to push it hard. So
you can even open a website that instead of you going, you're telling me that you have to go all the way to Vancouver. Once you know the to do it and you know, if you're able to teach it, you can even open a website from your own home. Once you've done the expertise 1 year, 2 years, you decide to teach it and do a membership to all the people around the world and charge them, I don't know, $100 or $50. Go to my website.
No, man, folks paying $5,000 for that. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. For, if I got to pay $5,500 to do it, I wouldn't charge $5, but I'll probably charge $3 or something, and then I'll probably come to your city and train. I might even do one-on-one if you're going to pay me right on the spot. See, that's the thing. I'll do one-on-one and train you for 48 hours over the weekend. You know, something, I'll do that. When you know, get a hotel, rent it out, bring five or six of you, I'll make a quick $20,000 in a weekend.
But with the IT thing, you don't even have to go to their city to do that. You could do a webinar. You could teach them through video. You could teach them through many ways. You don't even have to go all to there. You could teach them.
Yeah, you can do it through Skype. You can do all type of stuff, yeah.
You could do it through the membership of telling them, here's a website and everything. I'll teach you this and everything, but you'll have to pay every month. Look, if you have, I don't know, 10,000 people paying $20, $30, $50 every year, that's $100,000
in your pocket. Here's the thing, Stanley. Stanley and
and in Alabama. If you're trying to figure out how to run that kind of network marketing, you got the source on the phone. Talk to Mike. Trust me. He's run the network marketing before.
Once I take off and go ahead and do something, that's why I got Mike's number. I already talked to Mike about internet marketing, all that different stuff, because I want to do some search engine optimization and be there. When somebody searches scalp pigment, micropigmentation, I want to be on that first page, and I want 40,000 hits a day or so. I want that type of hit, you know, because it's getting to that level. And the more you market it, the more people find out about it, the more it's going to become real public. Because right now people are putting that Beijing in their head. That junk is out your head in 2 days.
I'm about to go do a book for people of trying to opt in and get email marketing in there. That's another thing. I'm doing a course on email marketing that's saying you have to be very close to your customer. Your customer has to see you as an expert. They say, yo, man, you know what? This person is the expert in hair, and you have to become an expert for the customer.
But see, I'm going to tell you something. What I like about it is it's not something that people are just quoting, putting videos on YouTube giving away for free.
Somebody's going
to be stupid enough to do that, but see, you demonetizing it then, which is dumb.
No, but you don't.
If I pay all this money, fly, pay for a plane ticket, and train for 5 days, when I come back, I don't want to hear it about, well, you know, you should give it away for free or create a YouTube channel. Because that's what people, like right now, you can go on YouTube and just about learn anything you want. But I'm so early in this game, nobody's done that yet. Nobody's went out that far. There's still a market to go out there. And even if they got a video on YouTube, that still don't mean you can't go pay somebody to learn. Because you got videos of how to do your own search engine optimization. But people still pay thousands of dollars to learn how to do it.
Yeah, but you have to understand, when people are giving the things for free, they're giving the things for free just to have the customer think that they're expert, and then they're bringing them in to bring traffic to go to their website, and then they're not coming work for free. The thing is, you give something for free in the beginning so you could have either an email or you could have something to have an exchange, and then from there, from the email, you bring them to whatever you want. Or you give it for free. You don't give it for free. You're just having it for free. If you're stupid, you do that. But if you're smart, you give it for free to have.
I mean, I've seen people give away stuff. I'm sitting like, dude, you could have actually created a course, monetized it, and put like maybe 30 seconds up showing somebody something, go to this website. And then, because I was looking for knowledge for search engine optimization. This dude set up and gave me almost an hour for free. I mean, real knowledge. I'm like, that was dumb. That was stupid.
No. The rule on the Internet, the rich people on the Internet, the people who make fabulous money, a couple of hundred G's a month, they follow a very simple rule. Give, 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 take.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because when
they don't
says,
ask
hey,
anything of you until they have built so much value. Right now, that guy, after an hour of giving it to you for free, if he sent you an email, said, look, I'm starting a course. I can only handle 5 people. The course is $10,000. If you think that hour we talked was something, wait till you see what I got planned for the next 6 weeks. If you ain't making at least $1 million a year, it's your fault, not mine. And there's people all day long that will write that $10,000 check because he gave 10,000 people the 1 hour for free. I know a guy up in Pennsylvania who handles public relations.
Yeah.
He could put you on Fox News tomorrow. He can put you on CNN, whatever political bent you are. He could put you in a magazine article in USA World Today talking about, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Get free time. This guy built careers of some of the most famous book writers and everybody in America. You know what he does? He'll give you 8 months of absolute free stuff, and then one day he'll get an email. I'm putting together a limited class. There's 100 people in it. I need 6 weeks to work with you in that class, and then I'll put you in front of 100 movers and shakers in the media. You need to write me a check for $10,000. And when you get there, there's the $5,000 package also. There's the $2,000 appointment with somebody who knows to tell you what color tie looks best with your skin on TV and all that. And probably you're into him for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in 6 months after that 8 months of free stuff.
But he proved
you
his worth.
Because you have to understand, that person is seeing you an expert. You start by opt-in, which is a free report, free video, free something, and then you come back with to the newsletter, small portion. There's a guy who was a very good person, who was an expert in relationship, did the same thing. She said, he said, to be an expert in relationship, what is this, all the 20 steps that you need to have to go to the point of relationship? He would just give a little bit to the customer. He would give it for free. Oh, you need to
know. You talking about Steve?
No, I'm not talking about Steve. I'm talking about another person what's his name? Oh, fuck. He came with a book, The Game, or whatever. Him.
Oh, you're talking about Neil Strauss. Neil Strauss.
Yeah, him, yes. What he did for his seminar was going to cost $3,000. So he went to Frank Kern.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Kern explained the story, how he got people just wiling up, spending $3,000 like it was nothing. It was booked in one day. They had 1,000 people spending $3,000. He explained it. He said to him, Frank Kern talked to him and he said, how are we going to do this? And Frank Kern said, you know what? Tell me the 20 steps that you need to do to go from the start to go all the way to have a relationship with somebody. And Frank, he said, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. Okay, let's start step one. Give it for free. Step two, give it for free. Three, four, five.
Yep.
And like he said, when he came to step 10, 11, you give so much information. Yo, man, this guy is giving things. But the thing is, the first step you got to approach a woman and say hi. The guy does it. And then he says, man, what else do I need to do? I need to go back to my email, find out what else I need to do. So you give him step two. When you come to step 15 and you're telling them, you know what, I gave you 6 months of information like this.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of Robert?
But if you want to go to my seminar, like he said, I have 1,000 places, $3,000. And the guy's going to be like, man, I'm going to spend the $3,000. He gave me
That's what Steve does. That's what Steve Bedeen does. Steve's got a lot of free information, blog talk. He does a lot of stuff. But then when it gets to the end, all his stuff is very expensive. Like, I mean, he won't, like, $500 just to get. He'll talk about the stuff. He'll have testimonials. People will call up. He'll record it. What happened when you did it? What happened next? And then after that, when you hear that testimonial, you're going to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the guy I know that charges $10,000 is an opening number. He built Robert Kiyosaki's career. He built
a
career for Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul, who's the number one
best-selling
author in the history of the world, 500 million books.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is, what's the breakoff point, though? Like, I agree.
They're working with who's standing in front of them who wrote the check.
I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about him. I'm saying, I believe in giving things away free, just like in music. Like, my friend was a rapper. I thought, man, give away your music for free.
No, people got to pay for it.
I'm like, they don't know you. They don't see value in your music, so why would they pay you $10 a CD and you some no-name guy on the street selling CDs? But if you give it for free.
But that's where you go out and do some concerts to raise money for charity and stuff, and in the back room they let you sell your CD. That's how you make your money there.
But you give it free, create some value by giving it to them, and off the street, if you see a guy walking, just give it to them. Check it out, man. It's nothing. I don't need nothing. No donation.
Yeah.
And I know guys that got major record deals, like, you know, major offers from doing that. But they don't, you know, these guys, when I told him to do that, this guy still ain't got signed. He done been with some of everybody, but he ain't got signed yet because he doesn't want to give it up for free.
Yeah. Well,
no, you got to give your best for free, but you got to also have what kind of customer you want to have. You want a customer that's going to be a cheapskate, or do you want a customer that's going to bring you the money? Because if you want to have a customer that's going to be the cheapskate, you're going to be the first person who's going to lose.
Right.
You got to have customers that are going to be able to pay you money for your time, and you got to go to the customer. Even some people I know, and I've learned from Dan Kennedy, like he said, if you want to be, there's two types of customers, the cheap one and the expensive one. It's you who decide as a business owner what kind of customer you want. You want the expensive one. You want the one who's going to be able to spend $3,000 on you and have no flinch about it. You want
high price clientele. You want high price clientele. Like, that's
exactly
what my brother was saying.
No, you want serious clientele. No, it's not about high price. Because of the credit card, anybody can lay down $3,000 today, just about anybody. If it's built
about
enough value.
Somebody serious.
Yeah, but the way they do it, you got to understand how they do it. They also are all that stuff they give away for free, where are you getting it? You're getting it at their website. You're putting clicks on their YouTube video.
That raises their value in the social media ranking and stuff so that they can command those kind of prices. Because when people then Google and go, Jesus, this guy's in the top 10. Everybody else is $25,000. This guy's $10,000. Geez, and I like this guy. And this guy's already given me a lot of stuff. I'll start here. I'll just dip my toe in the water for 10 grand. And that's how it's done. There's a whole art. And matter of fact, there are people who teach this also.
Yeah.
You write a book. There are people who will show you how to write a book in less than 90 days. And then that person will hand you off to the person who will show you how to make that a bestseller. Even if it's a poor book, it could be a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list or Amazon bestseller list. It could be a bestseller in 30 days.
Yeah, and even if you don't know how to write, you can, if you have the money, you can go to places like Elance.com.
Yep.
I can name many places, Favors, and so many places that you say, I don't know how to write, but I want to write something that has to do with any subject that you want. You can have the best writer in the world that will charge you $100 or $200. You make them sign the paper. That book becomes yours after that.
Yeah, exactly. And Bill O'Reilly does that.
Book,
Bill O'Reilly doesn't even write his own books. He collaborates with a guy who does all his research and everything, and then he just fixes a sentence or two, and he takes credit for it.
You take credit for it. I know one friend of mine, what he did, he was so smart. He went to Elance and said, you know what? I'm not good at creating website and everything, but I'm going to open a website thing that's going to think that people I'm good at website. He opened a nice website and had the whole thing of people, I could create a website. He didn't create nothing. Every time there was a customer asking him things, he would go back to Elance or those places.
That's Bill Gates. That's the Bill Gates model right there.
Yeah, have somebody do it for him for $1,000 and charge the customer $5,000.
That's Bill Gates. That's what he did. He bought software. He bought Windows from somebody else and took it to and just hustled and got it out there. It was really the business part of it that really makes it the genius. It's just like I know people that make hamburgers, make the best hamburgers in the world, but you can't create McDonald's. That's a whole different animal.
Bill Gates actually bought DOS, but you see, Bill Gates bought DOS from a guy who gave up on himself. Bill Gates then fixed the few little glitches that were in it because he went and found some programmers. He fixed it, and then Bill Gates did something absolutely brilliant that nobody else had ever done. While everybody else was out trying to sell software, Bill Gates went to IBM and said, look, we know times are hard. We know this is an experimental market. We don't know where it's going to go. So how about this? Instead of paying me $1 million for the software, how about you just pay me $1? For every machine you put it on after the machine sells, so you have no risk, just send me $1. That's how we got DOS out there.
Yeah, that's how he started licensing. He was the first one that started with that licensing the software.
Yeah.
That was the smartest thing ever. And everybody was like, what? Okay,
it's innovation. He didn't create the software. He just innovated on how to sell it. He created a better delivery system. And if you study history, you will see the richest people in the world are people who control delivery systems. J.P. Morgan controlled railroads. Other people controlled, banks and stuff. Well, everybody was beating themselves up, having knife fights in a ditch over who's going to sell steel cheaper to the railroads and all that. J.P. Morgan, Atlanta had a lumber shortage. J.P. Morgan just cut back the trains going to Atlanta carrying lumber. He just made a deal with all the lumber mills to pay him extra freight where the market was. He just stood in the middle. The middlemen are the ones who make it, the delivery system guys. And these guys, when somebody knows to go find something that you were too lazy to resource for yourself, and it's happened to me in the early days of computers. I didn't know nothing. Somebody said they had an external 9-gig hard drive. I said, great, I paid a guy $500. And then I realized 3 years later what he did. He went on eBay and found it for $200 and sold it to me for $500. But you know what? I had the hard drive, and it did what I needed to do. This was back in the late 90s,
And the thing is, like everybody doesn't know, like any product that you have in your face, you could even have your own marketing and own brand on it. You could go to the manufacturer that's doing those things.
Sure.
Anything that you have in there, if you find the manufacturer, you could go to them and say, you know what, I want you to do the same thing that they're doing, but I want to have my name on it. And it's when you have your brand on it, you decide the price.
I think that's why right now I would kill to catch a flight in the China, man, go into some of those cities where they specialize in certain products and really it would take months, but just sitting around, really get them down on their prices, understand what they're doing. I think that's the next bubble right now is that people need to get into manufacturing, going over and finding out how to – and getting in that and being that middleman between the end user and the manufacturer. Because they're kind of wising up over in China and right now. Until that happens, you can still go out and make some money. But once the Chinese start figuring out, like they're getting on the eBay now, like you can't really go on eBay and compete with the Chinese prices. You really can't. So.
Yeah, but the manufacturers and everything, manufacturers are there to just build things. They don't care about the selling part. Your part is to sell. If you go to any manufacturer and you say, how come you're not doing it? They'll tell you, that's not my job. My job is to build whatever you want me to build. If I got to build 10,000 laptops, I'll buy 10,000 laptops. What's the difference between 10,000 laptops in a compact and 10,000 laptops in HP? It'll be the same computer and everything, just one mark, one is this brand, this is the other brand. That's it. It's the brand that this and everything. It's the private label. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, it's money. Yeah. It's money to be made. It's money to be made. I see it. Just like with Africa. That's why I was talking about with Africa. Like they have needs of things in Africa that the Chinese will make for pennies on the dollar. People in Africa are paying ungodly amounts for stuff that you would think, but why are they paying that much for, like, makeup, women's makeup? They're paying crazy amount. They don't have a lot of it over there. Chinese are giving it to you for pennies.
I had a friend of mine in Mexico. I met him in college, came to the United States. He held dual citizenship because his mother was an American citizen. His father was Mexican. His family lost everything because of the corrupt politics down in Mexico. His father was the controller for Mobil Oil down in Mexico. His father died young. He went from great wealth to total poverty, this friend of mine, because then the Mexicans nationalized the oil down there, and so even his father's pension stopped coming. And so what he did was he just looked around, and you know what he saw? He saw that there were a lot of old buses in Mexico that were always breaking down, and most everybody drove in one of those old rickety buses like you see in all the movies and stuff. He started a business doing nothing more than driving across to Texas and exporting back to Mexico fan belts and radiator hoses to keep those, because that's what seemed to always go down on those buses. He built himself a multi-million dollar business doing that. He sold that. He then bought some secondhand respiratory therapy equipment, learned how to be a respiratory therapist, and started doing private respiratory treatments for people, rich people who would come to Mexico and then want to fly home sucking oxygen and stuff. And he went with them, and he was getting like $2,000 for a plane flight, and this was 1973. He was getting $2,000 to fly with these rich people as a respiratory therapist, took all that money, came to the United States, went to Yale, became an attorney, became politically connected because I introduced him to an attorney whose brother was mayor right now, and the rest is history. And he's had a great life going from, you know, wealth to poverty as a kid to that, but he kept his eyes open all the time. I'm telling you, there's so much stuff out there. And, you know, Peter Lynch from the great stock investing guru who had the Magellan Fund, he had the Vanguard, I think it was. He said, I'm not even good at picking stocks. He said, there is a plumber out there right now who will see all the plumbers using a new wrench around him on the job, and that's the company you should be investing in. And he said, and he'll know it 3 years before I even hear about that company. There's just all kinds of stuff around us. Find a need and fill it. Right, Stanley?
Yeah, and you have to stop being scared. You have to stop asking. You have to stop hanging out with people. Well, you know, if you want to make whatever money you got to do, you got to have the mentality that you are never going to make the money. First of all,
let me ask you guys this. People that think like that, like what you just described, that are real pessimistic, I get into it with people. We always get in arguments. Because when they talk, it annoys me. Like, I wish you would shut up. You don't know what you – and I get annoyed real quick with people that have a pessimist, you know, glass half empty, you know, way of life. It's like they're speaking a foreign language. I don't understand you. Stay away from me, you know. And then they hate – and what I find, they don't like me. They usually don't like what I say. Because you just think it's that easy. You just – yeah, I do. I think it's that easy. I think I'm going to make $1 million. All I got to do is do X, Y, and Z. Yep, real easy.
The thing
and they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, but those people that have that mentality, you just have to say, let's take a paper and let's go to the math. You are working every hour for somebody. You are worth how much? I don't know, $20 an hour. Okay, $20 an hour times.
Not Stanley,
now,
it ain't that easy. Stanley, usually they're going to always have a reason. So, if you start doing this, how you know it's going to work? How you know they're going to buy it? Like, I had a guy argue me down about selling houses before I got started. Okay, let's say you fix the house. How you know it's going to sell? I mean, the house may sit there for 10 years. Yes, you said that. What if a tornado hits it?
You're right.
I hope a tornado tears it down.
But when they say those things, you say the truth. Yes, it may. But if I look at your situation, is it guaranteed that you're going to stay in your job for 20 years? Is it guaranteed that
even if they do, that's the worst thing can happen is if they stay in the job. Because that means you done wasted your life working at some company investing
in
a 401k.
Alabama, here's what's wrong, okay, with the whole story you're telling. You're wasting your time talking to those people. Go find somebody else that you can talk to. You're not going to change them. You know, Charlie Tremendous Jones had a really simple rule. Show me the last five books you read in the last 5 years, and show me the five people that you have hung around with for the last 5 years, and I'll tell you what your income will be in the next 5 years within 5%. And he was right. Don't even waste your time. Einstein said, you don't prove you're an idiot, a genius, by arguing with an idiot. You don't prove anything. This person is going, well, what if this and what if that? Well, I can come up with 753 million negative scenarios why something won't work. But I can come up with one good one why it will, because you'll work it until it does succeed. That's why. And these people don't know that.
And 90% of the time, the thing is, it's not your product that makes a difference. It's the association that you'll do with your customer. It's not the product. You can sell many things and everything. You can sell crap to a person. If that person believes you and is ready to spend the money on you, it's all about marketing. You don't care about the product. Too many people focus, I got to get the perfect product. No, you got to find the perfect, good marketer. You got to find a way to sell them things. Selling is the way to do. Not your product. It's the selling.
Yeah.
It's having something. It's having the person saying, if I don't get this product, it will be the end of the world. That's the kind of customer you want. Not the kind of customer who's going to come back and say, well, you know what, give me 2 months. Maybe no. It's today. You don't got 2 months.
And the guy who says to you, what if the house don't sell and you could hold on to it for 10 years, to say, yeah, and the worst thing that'll happen to me is I'll own one more house than you will. You know,
I mean, it's just dense. To me, I'm just saying, I usually in life, the people that I get along with are go-getters. I don't really get along with, like, pessimists. You know, people that are, it's not going to work. You know, when I hear that off the top, I'm already ready to disprove what you're saying. But so I'm like, okay, well, tell me why it's not going to work. Because, and then when they come up with that reason, sometimes, I'm going to be completely honest with you, sometimes that's the key of life, I think, is that sometimes you're going to get real advice from people, and they're actually all right. And you got to be smart enough to know when they're right and when they're just negative. Like, you got to – even though they may be a negative person, is what they're saying valid? Because I still weigh what they say. I just don't close ears, because that's how you get had. That's how you lose your shirt, is by not listening. I listen, but is it true?
But Alabama, you also have to consider the source. If these people have nothing and there's nothing going on for them, and, you know, I mean, I've learned, I know successful people, and when I've proposed an idea, what they've come back with is not, well, that's wrong and that won't work. They don't word it that way, but they say, you've just about got the whole formula right. Let me just show you where you could tweak it. Here's something you could add to that, and then they'll correct me. They won't just come out, well, that's wrong, that won't work. They don't come out at you like that. Not the real incredible mentors I've met in my life. They're kinder. They'll give you credit for the 85% you got figured out, and then they'll add the next 10 or 15% to finish the thing. But they won't come out and tell you, that's wrong, that won't work, that, that, that. Or they might say, listen, what you're doing, I tried it that way, and I had a little bit of problem. Here's why I had the problem. Do you see that happening? And they'll share with you from personal failure as a teaching lesson, but they don't come out and attack you and say, that's wrong, that's stupid, that's this, that. They just don't work that way.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. You know, some people now, there's some people that are successful that are kind of, you know, abrasive. I've seen some successful people that are abrasive that just straight, that's bull. They're just, that's bullshit. That ain't going to work. They just come with it like that. I mean, it just depends. But
yeah. Nah.
So,
you don't need to be around those people. If they bother you, don't even hook up with them. Just
what I feel is that a lot of times when people are successful, sometimes you may have just been successful because you're just in the right place at the right time, but it doesn't mean you really are a great businessman. It just means you're a good – like I know a guy right now. You can look him up, Greg Calhoun, Calhoun Food, Calhoun Enterprises,
yeah.
In Montgomery, Alabama, black-owned grocery chain. He's an a-hole, but he's worth – he's worth $100 million. But if we were to sit and talk about certain things, he's one of those types that will come and shoot it down. But he's so ignorant about what you're talking about, but he's going to shoot it down because it's something he didn't come up with or something. So it's kind of, you know, there are people like that as well.
But then you don't talk to them. You go find somebody who's more kindred spirit.
Oh, I don't fool with
him. I
don't fool with
him. The way you need to be handled.
Yeah, I don't fool with him. I don't fool with him at all.
Now, I knew a guy who was early days of construction. He was very successful. This guy made a lot of money during World War II building post offices. He was an old man when I met him, and he owned a lumber yard in town, and he was in his mid-80s, and every day went to work, show up on job sites all over the place with the same dirty old coat on and smelling like he hadn't taken a bath in weeks and everything else. But everybody knew his name was Patsy, and everybody knew what old Patsy knew. The guy was a genius. And he'd come over, and he'd come up to you, and I remember one time he showed up at one of my job sites with a pen and paper. You need anything? You need some lumber or something? He'd go out and hustle business into his 80s. That's how he was just wired. And one day he showed up, and he didn't have his clip of paper out, and he grabbed me by the earlobe, and he said, "Kid, are you done effing around?" He said, "Are you getting serious about making money?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, from what I see, all you're doing is effing around." He goes, "Come on." He dragged me by the earlobe to his car. He said, "Come on, I'm buying you lunch." And he took me for lunch, and he told me some things that I never forgot. And it really changed the shape of my little home improvement business, the few things he shared with me. And, and again, some people could say that I was lucky. Because, you know, a guy like that showed up. But then again, I was in a place where he could find me. I was out
there. I mean, you went out there.
I wasn't hidden away like most blind people.
Yeah.
In some state-run job shop or a shelter or living in my mother's basement sitting there feeling sorry for myself. I shouldn't say most blind people feel sorry for themselves, but come on. 75% unemployment in the blind community? Well, then more of them need to know how to go out and create a job for themselves.
Well, a lot of times when I see a situation, if you come somewhere and you go out there, it's like the universe rewards gumption. If you go out there and you do something, it stuff just comes your way. I don't know why it just happens. If you go out there, you take that initiative to do something or try something, and then it's just the universe will reward you by bringing with whatever other resources. Not every time. Sometimes you're going to fail, but
there's one.
It does happen.
There's some laws about physics and stuff, and like you can sit in the car, and you can turn the steering wheel left, and you can turn the steering wheel right, and nothing happens because the car isn't rolling. It's the rolling friction that allows the steering to put it into a direction, and that's why somebody made the great quote one time: "God can't steer a parked car." You know, if you believe that way, but the truth is, in science, a parked car doesn't go in any direction, no matter how much you fiddle with the steering wheel. It's got to be moving forward at any speed, and you've got steering. You can change its direction, and that's what most people don't get. You got to get into the game. You got to get out of the stands. You got to put down your bag of peanuts and your half stale warm beer, and you got to get down into the field and become a player and get out of the stands and stop being a spectator
Man,
in your own life.
I was actually listening to this guy talk about quantum physics yesterday. I listened to crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, man, he was just talking about on a quantum level how stuff is and how stuff works on a quantum level. And he was just saying stuff isn't really there. What we think is there is not really there on a quantum level. I'm like, what?